you can tell everybody. Go ahead and tell everybody. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. Yes, I am, yes, I am, yes, I am. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. I believe every lie that I ever told. Paid for every heart that I ever stole. I played my cards and I didn't fold. Well, it ain't that hard when you got soul. Somewhere I heard that life is a test. I've been through the worst, but I still get my best. God made my mold different from the rest. Then he broke that mold, so I know I'm blessed. Stand up now and face the sun. Won't hide my tail or turn and run. It's time to do what must be done. Be a king when kingdom comes. Well, you can tell everybody. Yeah, you can tell everybody.
Hello. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the show. I'm Brian Hammer Jackson. Thank you for coming in. It's October 25th, 2023. I already have a full studio. My God, there's seven people already in the studio. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to the show. This is a show about nothing, but we talk about everything. We are not a left-wing kind of wacko kind of show. No, no, that's, no. We're not a hardcore Republic kind of show. No, no, no. We're in the middle. And this is how it's going to be. This is what we do. We're in the middle. So I want you to welcome to the show, and it's a train wreck, so if you never heard the show before, shame on you. Shame on you. Shame, shame, shame on you. Like I said, I am your host, Ryan the Hammer Jackson, and our studio is haunted. Sometimes they can't hear you. If you want to come on air, you have to hit that little one. See, right now, one of the morning crew, Pat, Patricia Oberlin from Niagara Falls. She already hit the one button, and I see a little hand that comes up. So if you are 111, I see 3111. So if you want to talk to me, all you have to do is hit the one button on your phone, and a little hand will raise, and I'll unmute you. That's how it works. How it works. Topic. Trump compares himself to Nelson Mandela. This guy. And then we're going to talk about other stuff, too. Trust me. You got the topic. If you ever heard the show, we have a topic. But then we go sideways. Let me we got tarot card reading, by the way. Yeah. Because the great Pat Oberlin is here. And sometimes she's in a good mood. She'll read your cards. Mm-hmm. That's how it works. I'm going to introduce her right now. Good morning, Pat. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you, Brian?
Good. There's that lovely voice right there. You know what, Pat? It's like, you know, some people are just morons. You know what I'm saying? Just morons. I'm not a stand-up comic. I'll do a monologue, but the monologue is not like a Jimmy Fallon or anything like that. I'll do it. But here you go, Pat. You deserve your crowd. Look at her fans. Wow. Look at that fan. Coming in, storming the building. Wow. Happy people who got a good reading. The show is brought to you by Patricia Oberlin's Bakery. Home of patty cakes. Specialty is devil food. You know, did you hear what happened to that pilot? So apparently, it was Alaska Airlines, I believe.
He was doing shrooms.
Yeah, I think they went to Pat's Bakery because he did some shrooms.
He did.
Magical mushrooms.
Yeah, what was he thinking?
He said it was the first time.
Like that.
He said it was the first time he did it, and he just had a bad trip. Now, let me tell you something. Now, you're a pilot. See, the problem of it is, see, people are not thinking what really happened. See, he tripped out. He did some shrooms. And I got the story right here, so I'm trying to read it. And so he was tripping. See, but he was on his way to be dropped off to his other plane. Can you imagine that he was going to be transferred to another plane? And he was going to fly?
He was going to fly?
He was going to fly.
Like that?
Can you imagine the catastrophe that would be? I know, right? I mean, when people don't think that there's God around, my God, can you imagine that you have a pilot on magic mushrooms from Pat Oberlin's bakery? Got the gummies. Take it easy on the gummies and the shrooms. The shrooms were on sale. Those mushrooms are not for your pizza pie. Story. Off-duty pilot accused of trying to shut off plane's engine in mid-flight. Said he was having a nervous breakdown. That's what he said. That's what the federal complaint shows.
Well, you shouldn't be flying, or you shouldn't be out in public first time on shrooms.
I know.
I mean, you should be in a quiet place that you're in control. And,
yeah. Not me. I'm driving on the freeway. I'm driving on the freeway in rush hour, making it go faster. Like, look at at nighttime. Look at the lights. Oh, pretty lights. I'm driving.
Nobody
should
be operating machinery on that stuff.
I'm going to drive for Uber on shrooms. Oop, not going to pick
Brian.
You up. Your face is
Brian.
Falling off. Yes.
Have
yes.
you ever done shrooms?
Never.
Have
I've never.
No, okay. You don't know what you're talking about. Believe me,
don't
you don't want to be driving anything. You don't want to be out in public. you really
wow.
don't want to have to deal with that stuff, especially first time around. Like, you want to be in your own environment.
You know what I'm going to do, Pat? I have an event I'm going to, and we're going to stay at a haunted house, right? Or a haunted hotel. I think I'm going to do my first rooms at the haunted hotel. How's that?
Oh, Brian.
Can you? You're coming with me. I'm going to do them there. We're going, what was that? What was that? I'm going to do them right there. You're coming with me. I'll pay for it. I'll pay for even John. John can come too, because John's going to need to manage me. You know
okay,
I mean?
Well, then I guess I better bring the shrooms, right?
Yes, you're bringing the shrooms. And we're going to be at the Haunted Hotel. And John's going to look at us going, what are dumb fucks? Look at that. I'm going to run through the lobby naked. What a sight that will be. Here's the story. Here's the story, Pat, about the off-duty pilot. Here we go. I hate when the story don't start because I work hard to have the time it right. You know, I do everything I could do. All right, let me try again. Here's a story about the airline pilot who were on shrooms.
New details on a major mid-air scare over the weekend. An off-duty pilot tried to cut the power on an Alaska airline flight by pulling the emergency fire extinguisher handles while the plane was at cruising altitude. This is coming from a memo that CNN obtained sent to Alaska Air pilots. An air traffic control audio recording captured part of the incident, which took place Sunday on a flight from the Seattle area to San Francisco. The flight was diverted to Portland, where it landed safely.
We've got the guy that tried to shut the engine down out of the cockpit, and he doesn't sound like he's causing any issue in the back right now. I think he's subdued. Other than that, we warned law enforcement as soon as we get on the ground and park.
CNN safety analyst David Soucy is here with us. He is a former FAA safety inspector. David, first off, just explain this pulling of the fire extinguisher handles, what this would do in a situation like this.
Well, it depends on which ones he pulls, of course, but if he's shutting down the engines on the fire extinguishers in the engines, it can cause the engines to actually shut down as well, because if you're telling it that there's a fire on board, so you're going to pull those extinguishers. If that's in fact what he did, you can notice that the pilots also say he's trying to shut down the engines, so that might not have been the only thing he did.
And there's no recovering if you have the extinguisher pulled? I mean, the plane basically becomes like a glider?
Well, if you pull both, yes. Typically, you would only pull one or the other, but this guy sounds like he was trying to shut down whatever he could. So at that point, there would not be a lot of recovery at that point, other than the glide of the aircraft, which they do glide. They still do glide if you have a good landing area ahead of you. But typically, in that situation, at that altitude, you may not have a lot of options.
Wow. Look at that guy. It says here he was on shrooms, and how come I don't know why they're not giving the right description on this poor bastard. Hold on right now, Bree. Where is Bree? Hey, Bree, you had your time. The off-duty pilot accused of trying to shut down the engines, okay? This was Alaska Airlines. It was a plane in mid-flight on Sunday. He said he was having a nervous breakdown and told the flight crew he needed to be subdued. He told them. The Alaska Airline pilot Joseph Emerson, 44, has been charged in federal court with interfering with the flight crew. I'm going to depart where he did it. The charge comes on the heels of dozens of state charges in Oregon, including 83 felony counts of attempted murder. 83 felony counts of attempted murder? 83 counts of reckless endangerment? Wow. He pleaded not guilty.
Yeah.
For shrooms. I know. It says here Emerson was last seen. I know. It says here Emerson was last seen at Patricia Oberlin's Bakery in Niagara Falls at lunchtime. We saw him take a substance that we believe labeled magical spiritual mushrooms, according to authorities. But it was a quick action of the airline captain and first officer that kept the engines from falling completely. As he was being handcuffed and subdued, he was shouting out, "I love you, Pat Oberlin." As he was taken out of the airport. And then he attempted to grab the handle of an emergency exit, and there he goes. There he goes. While in custody, Emerson told a police officer he became depressed about 6 months ago. According to the affidavit, the FBI agent, and they included alongside the federal complaint, Emerson denied taking any medication, just shrooms. But he did discuss he took some psychedelic mushrooms and repeated the same phrase. Thank you, Patricia Oberlin. The officer and Emerson talked about the use of psychedelic mushrooms, and Emerson said it was his first time taking the mushrooms. Asked specifically if Emerson told officers he had been under influence of mushrooms at the time. Yep. While in custody, he proceeded to call me Jesus and tried to climb on top of the ceiling. And he repeated the phrase, "Thank you, Pat Oberlin," with Patricia Oberlin's bakery. And he says, "Well, in custody, I'm not fighting any charges you want to bring against me, guys." What would cause a man, a pilot, to do that? You know it has to be a woman. Nothing short of a woman. I'm telling you, nothing short of a woman that will do this. The man's a pilot. He went to training. He's 44 in the peak of his career. Never had any problems before. All of a sudden, he's depressed. What would depress you? Because a woman said, "No, no, no." And he goes, "Okay, I'm a pilot. What I'm going to do is I'm going to go take some mushrooms and get on a plane." I mean, that's how we handle shit. If you kind of...
Well, nobody should take shrooms and leave the house the first time.
I'm driving Uber. Emerson is being held without bail at the county jail and appeared to be in court on Tuesday wearing a blue jail uniform with the words on the back of the uniform that says, "Thank you, Pat Overland."
You're not going to let go of that, are you?
No.
Yeah, I think I might do that this weekend, actually.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, because I have 7 readings on Saturday. And when
I come home,
I'm usually wired, you know, like, holy moly.
I know. So, you're going to have to send some to me. I've never done it before. I'll go on the air with shrooms.
You know what?
Well, that's it.
I'd go to jail if I tried to send them to you.
Would you really? Yeah, you're right, because it's federal mail. Yeah, federal mail. I understand. I'll buy it from your website. let's see.
There's lots of websites in Canada you can buy from.
I know, right? You know what? We do have it's legal here. Pot is legal. Gummies are legal. But we don't have any, but they're not selling mushrooms, psychedelic kind of stuff. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting?
Oh, it'll be a year or two away.
You think so? That they would have shrooms?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm just curious. Well, it's knowing that his case requires more robust release hearing with 5 days, online records do not list an attorney for Emerson. And CNN has been working to determine if his legal representative in both state and federal court. Authorities do not believe the incident was an act of terrorism or ideology. Instead, it was from visiting Patricia's Bakery at Niagara Falls. Thank you, Pat Overland. The law enforcement source familiar with the investigation told CNN investigators believe it may have been the result of mental health issues. And authorities are preparing for court officials to order an assessment on the defendant's psychological state as part of court proceedings. So he's going to go with that. There you go. You know what's interesting? I don't know if I agree with this. And I'm going to see if I can go. You know, I don't usually say it, but I was in the entertainment industry. I met a lot of people. I remember the $6 million man.
I remember him. He used to date the chick around the corner from me, Karen King, the dancer.
Right. Right. His name. What is his name? It's funny. I can remember his character name, Steve Austin, but I can't remember the actor, $6 Million Man. God.
I can't remember either.
Isn't it weird that I can remember his character name, but I can't remember?
Well, because they didn't tell you his name that often.
The actor. Damn it. Okay, now I have to do it. Actor. Come on, I'm trying to do it with my memory, short-term memory. Come on, I can see him right now. I can see his face.
So can I. I can see
and
his jag.
I can't remember his real name. Was your ass sitting on it, Pat?
No, but I used to walk by. They were named Mosley. I was in a ritzy part of Toronto.
Actor, $6 million. God, this is going to kill me. I can't remember $6 million man. Isn't it funny? I can remember his character, Steve Austin, but I can't remember his name. I know I can get it. I don't want to check it. I want to do it my memory. Come on. I know Steve. Who is it? Lee Majors. It's Lee Majors, you fuck. I remember when Lee Majors tried to break my ass. He liked my butt.
Oh, come on.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. I was a PA on the set, and Lee was doing, he was supposed to be coming on set. It wasn't a $6 million man series. It was another movie he was in, and I was a PA. He was in a trailer, and he was going out. I guess his main one was Farrah Fawcett Majors, maybe. I think that's the famous.
Yeah, role. She was with him for a while.
Right. So he already broke up with her. It's been like 2 years since he broke up with her. And he was in a trailer. He was drinking straight scotch and whatever he could drink. He was drunk out of his fucking mind. I knock on a trailer. Knock, knock, as I tend to do. It's like, Jackson, go get the Majors. He's supposed to be on the set. Sir, yes, sir, I'm on it. I run to the trailer. Knock, knock. Nothing, no answer. Knock, knock. No answer, knock, knock. No answer, knock, knock. Who is it? It's Brian. Brian, who? It's the PA. You're supposed to be on the set, Mr. Majors. Come in. There he was, drunk in all his glory. And this is what he said. And I quote. You know, Brian. Yes. Yes. And I quote specifically what he said. When you have all the women in the world, when you had all the women in the world, all the women in the world, yep. Okay. Sometimes you want a man. Uh-oh.
Can you say that to you?
Yes.
I don't believe
it. I quote.
That.
It's true. It's true. I told this story
Seriously?
Many times. Yes. Many times. And I was terrified. I'm not going to tell you
this?
What year. I'll give you a hint. He just broke up with Farrah Fawcett. So it could be like in the 80s, you know.
It was 81.
He just finished the $6 million man series.
1980 when I was around.
Okay, well, he just finished the $6 Million Man series. And he was doing
mm-hmm.
this. And then he said, what do you think of that, Brian? And at that point, I pooped my pants just in case for security. I didn't poop my pants, but I said, well, you know, you're right, Mr. Majors. Sometimes you got to humor drunks because you don't want to argue with a drunk. Especially this guy's worth $6 million. I'm worth about $1.25. He's going to win every time. And you say, yes, Mr. Majors, that is true. He goes, come over here, Brian. I go, come here. No. No means no, sir. Come here, I want to talk to you. I go, sir, you got to be on the set. I got to go. I got to go knock on other trailers. And at the moment, I said, all right, I'll be out there. So they said, okay, thank you, sir. And I left out of there. True story. Almost got a $6 million ass, you know what I mean? Fucking. Oh, I'm not supposed to be saying fucking anymore. Because now we have other people listening to the show now, and they may want to sponsor the show. So I'm supposed to be on my best behavior. This reminds me of my first executive producer, Brian. We got sponsors that are listening to the show. You can't say shit like that. Keep your mouth clean. You know, don't go near your dark side. So I can't say
Well,
fuck.
We probably shouldn't be talking about shrooms either.
Shrooms? No, we can talk about shrooms. Shrooms is in. Just fucking out. Shrooms in. Fuck out. I know the rules. So anyway.
I'll try to keep it cleaner.
You don't have to keep it clean. Why did I tell this story? Because I'll tell you why I told this story. Because there's some shit that goes behind scenes in Hollywood that you don't know. I mean, I'm going to tell you something, and I'll tell you something. Think about the people who are actors and actresses. Think of what kind of character and kind of people they are. These are circus people. These are people who are misfits. These are people that something's seriously wrong with them. I can give musicians a pass because it's creative. They play instruments. They sing songs. People love it. But when you're an actor, think about the job an actor does. Think about it. You're a grown-ass man, and you're pretending to be somebody else that somebody else wrote on a piece of paper, and you're supposed to act that person out.
Yeah.
It's these are people who don't fit in society. They're da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Hurry. What is it? Hurry, hurry, hurry. Look at the sideshow circus. That's who they are. They're circus people. They don't fit. They're misfits. Anybody who wants to be an actor, I even give models a pass. I'll give models a pass because they're good looking. They wear clothes. There's a function for them. But actors, there's no pass at all. There is something seriously wrong with them. And we look at the, they're like a psychology petri dish. There's nothing but craziness going on there. They're fucked up people. Yes, I said it. All, A-L-L. All actors are fucked up. All. To want to become an actor, you got to be fucked up because you can't do anything else. You can't do anything else. You become an actor. And what does an actor do? Well, we pretend we're other people because we don't want to be ourselves. Okay. Okay. Okay.
I don't know what to think.
Well, you know it.
I've never thought about it.
You know it. They can't do anything else. So they go and audition to be other people. And if they're good, they become that person or that character. That's how they make their living, being other people, pretending to be a dragon, pretend to be a mouse, pretend to be Peter Pan. We can go on and on and pretend to be Captain Hook. Pretend to be George Washington. These are actors. Back in the day, when in Britain, there weren't that many, it was like a prostitution for a woman to become an actress. If a woman wanted to become an actress, she's a prostitute. That's how she was looked upon. They gave prostitutes more credit than a woman actress. At least a prostitute would put out and give you more. But you want to, you're a prostitute. So, and that's why men used to dress up in their wigs and everything and back in the day and pretend they're a woman.
They weren't allowed to have women on the stage.
Right, because,
they were literally not allowed to.
Well, that was part
it
of it,
was,
but
it was the 1700s or so before women were allowed.
I know, but what I'm trying to say, when they were considered prostitutes. Like, you know, when you looked at the painting, you know, give me the famous painting, the woman with the black hair and she's sitting there, she's smiling. What was the name? Famous, the painting.
Oh, Mona Lisa.
Mona Lisa. Mona Lisa was a prostitute. She was a hoe. Back in the day...
No, she was somebody's wife.
Yeah, she was a hoe.
Yeah, I know she was hoeing around, but she was somebody's wife.
Sure, she was somebody's daughter, too. But, we knew she was bad because when she was born, she came out with her legs open. Doctor had a spanker. Stop that. But back in the day when you had Michelangelo and you had all these famous painters, they would go out and they would get whores to sit with them and paint. That's who they were.
No, that was the commissioned painting by her husband.
Yes. But the whores sat there because women were not doing it. They had to do the whores. They did a lot of things with the horse. Horse, 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 horse. I love the horse. Horse, horse, horse. I love horse. Speaking of horse, going back to why I said that story about actors, right? Well, here's the worst thing I think an actor can do. I just told you a story about Lee Majors. But I was never an A-list actor, whatever. You know, if you get there long enough, you have stories. I don't really like – I know when an actor is broke because they want – it's two things. When you do a tell-all book, a tell-all, either you're broke or you're not relevant anymore, meaning that people don't care about you, and you got to do something to get back
relevant.
In the picture. Cause it's,
yeah.
It's like if you do a tell-all book, isn't it the biggest douche move? It's a dick move. It's a narcissistic move that I'm going to tell what's going on so you can buy my book. So enter John Stamos. John Stamos has he called it his memoirs, John Stamos. And his book is called John Stamos.
It's a tell-all?
Well, I don't know. We'll hear a little bit about it. His book is called John Stamos. If You Would Have Told Me, that's what the book was. That's the title. And before we hear a sample of it, it says here, this program is read by the author. So you're going to – how narcissistic is it? Normally you get somebody to read the book as an audio. This douchebag decided to do it on his own. I'm going to put my picture on the cover. I'm going to put my name, John Stamos, and it says, if you would have told me. And it says, this program is read by the author, and it's him. And it says, and Jamie Lee Curtis, I love him, and I respect him, and I need him. We all do. What does that mean? See, now, you got to understand what Jamie Lee Curtis used to do. Jamie Lee Curtis, when she was a teenager, she used to do coke with her father. Her and her father used to do a lot of coke together. I think she was like 14 and 15 at the time when she was doing coke. Who was the other one? Remember wasn't the Facts of Life. One Day at a Time girl, she was in the band, and she did cocaine with her father, too, and he passed around with the band members. Remember that? Did you ever see that show, One Day at a Time? There was,
no.
Oh, come on. We remember.
Was
oh,
that?
My. That was, why is my short-term memory gone? There was two girls and a mother, single mother. They had a plumber. And who were their names? I don't remember the, one of the women married the guy from Motley Crue. She has a kid called Wolfgang.
Oh,
can't remember.
Yeah. I'm getting closer here, but my memory sucks too.
Yeah, mine sucks. And
for names? For names?
I can't remember.
Yeah.
I can't remember her name.
Why don't you look
it
up?
Then it was the other one with the Mamas and the Papas, who was associated with the Mamas and the Papas. She was the one doing coke with her friends, her dad's friends, and everything. Let me see. Lindsay. Okay, no. Phillips. Kenzie Phillips. Mackenzie Phillips. Damn.
Yeah.
Mackenzie. I think it was Mackenzie Phillips. Okay. She was fucked up. Let me see if I can see if. Boy, I'd like to read her. Mackenzie Phillips, here she is. Is she still alive? I wonder if she's still alive. Have you heard anything about Mackenzie Phillips? I mean, she was like on the edge there. Is she alive?
I don't know, man.
Let me see if there's any news about her. Mackenzie Phillips recalls harrowing, humorous, blood-spattered details of celebrity rehab at a park. I guess she's still alive. This was 12 days ago. She's still going to she went to celebrity rehab.
Is there a difference?
Yeah, I guess. Here we go. There was there was gallows humor among some gratefully sober celebs at an annual event for the popular addiction and recovery podcast Dopey. Apparently there's a podcast called Dopey. Mackenzie Phillips, a one-time sitcar and daughter of rocker John Phillips, So John Phillips was the one that she did coke with, her father. Who is that fat guy that had a blood transfusion? No. He was an alcoholic. He got a liver. Was he with the mamas and the papas? Anyway. She said she spent 11 stints in rehab. 11 times she went to rehab. Well, when do we know it's not working anymore? She recalled how Dr. Drew Pinsky, who is not really a doctor, by the way, brought the once struggling star onto his show for Celebrity Rehab for the 2010 season. Said a source at the podcast event, celebrities dug deep into the humor well as Mackenzie Phillips told stories of how Dr. Drew had to clean blood spatters off her bedroom ceiling as she started her stint on the show. How do you get blood spatters on the ceiling? That must be some wicked period. Apparently, Phillips says she was in such bad shape at the time she was trying to find a vein to shoot heroin into. When the blood went flying, she shot up a vein and blood just spurted out of her vein.
Well,
the former one day at a time. I know, right? The former one day at a time star. She's 63 now. She became a substance use disorder counselor herself. She previously told Pay6 in an interview, I was in rehab 10 or 11 times over a 30-year period. But that more recently, I have purpose. My life has meaning. I am engaged in a profession that I'm passionate about. I don't know what that is. Oh, boy, she's one fucked up girl. Phillips starred in the hit 70s and 80s Norman Lear sitcom One Day at a Time. You can even tell me then she was high. Phillips was later on Celebrity Rehab with Dr. Drew. Each of the stars had their own moments that they shared with laughter and hope. Also appearing at the event at the Church of the Holy Apostle and chatting with Dopey, Hank Azaria, Lily Taylor, Rich Boss, Brandon Novak, Jessa Reed, don't know any of those people. The podcast with over 10.5 million downloads has had star guests to talk about some of the darkest moments as well as some of the hopeful moments. Hank Azaria appeared at DopeyCon with Dapper podcast host Dan Mannheim. Mannheim's late cohort, Chris O'Connor, tragically died from an overdose in 2019. Mannheim told us that his show uses humor and acceptance to eliminate the shame and the stigma of the more gritty details of addiction and engages those struggling no matter where they are at their journey. Also at the event was Mighty Ducks child star Sean Weiss, who I never know, who were previously reported told the podcast he once sold his mentor Judd Apatow's laptop for $60 to score drugs.
Jesus.
I remember the worst I got. I remember when I was doing cocaine. Cocaine is not the same, and we're going to go into that. It's not the same as it was before. I mean, if you were going to do cocaine, I'm going to tell you something. The best time to have done it would be like in the 80s and the 90s, before this fentanyl bullshit came in. I mean, that's my day.
The 70s, the 80s. Oh, yeah.
Yes. That's the best time to do drugs. And there's plenty. They had the thing called speed. You don't hear about it anymore. Speed. My day, it was cocaine and speed. But you don't hear speed anymore. I don't know what happened to speed. I guess that nobody's doing speed. They skipped speed and just went to crystal meth. And I don't know if speed is meth. I don't know. Is that the new speed, crystal meth? I have no idea. But they just had somebody die. What celebrity just died? Oh, no, in L.A. there was two black models they thought were and they died in the penthouse. They thought they were murdered, but they did the autopsy, and they found out that one of the black models were not murdered, but she died of an overdose of cocaine and ethanol. Now, Pat, what is ethanol? Is ethanol fentanyl? It was cocaine and ethanol.
No, ethanol, they cut it with ethanol. And that's like a gasoline almost.
Oh, that's right. So that's what she died of. They call it an accidental death of ethanol and cocaine. See, now they didn't cut that shit.
So it wasn't pure cocaine. You know, they usually process with gasoline. But if they can't get gasoline, they must use ethanol and left it in the product.
Ew.
Do you know what I'm saying?
See, you got guys who did not graduate from a university of chemistry. You got guys who are mixing this shit who probably went to fourth grade and started selling drugs at fifth grade. And they're mixing this shit. No, I'm serious.
And they're in another country.
Right. Well, they're not chemists. Even a guy in another country, they're not chemists. So you don't know what's going on. You don't know what. So if you were going, I'm just saying, if you were, you know, it's past the time to enjoy the cocaine. If you were in the 80s and the 90s, you could enjoy the cocaine. You could probably enjoy the heroin back then, too, because the heroin was kind of pure. But now, you got your fentanyl. You got your, what was I just said? The thing we're just talking about, Pat? Ethanol or whatever the hell that is?
Ethanol.
Yeah, you got that ethanol going on. I remember I got out when they started messing with the weed. They used to call it sherm, where I guess it's a weed, and they dipped it in PCP, and they used to call it sherms or something. This was getting out of hand. People are losing their damn mind. Yeah, so, you know, you kids, you missed out on the good drug days, which was 80s and the
90s.
70s
and 80s.
Yeah. Right after Woodstock, man. Those were the good drug days.
They were.
Colombian
they
gold.
Were.
Colombian gold. Ask Ronald Reagan. He's the one who brought him in. Yes. If you remember it, then you weren't there. Phillips, she claimed there was a story going on with Mackenzie Phillips that she had incest with her father doing cocaine. Actress says she had sexual relationship with her father for years.
Was it voluntary?
Okay, apparently for years. She admitted it. She did her cocaine and she gave daddy blowjob. Daddy want blowjob? Yes, daughter. Thank you, daddy. Who's your daddy? You're my daddy. Now pull down your zipper. Whoop, 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 whoop. Rop, rop, rop. Love you, daddy. Insane.
That's just gross.
Insane. I just left. That's what happened. She claimed she had sexual relationship with her father for years. Hello, Daddy. Hi, Mackenzie. I'm ready to suck you. Okay, here you go. Gulp. Ah. Thank you, daughter. Now
you
go
had
do your
enough
homework.
Of that?
Yeah, go do your homework. Okay, Daddy. End scene. End scene. I think he whored her out to a lot of the band members. They took her turns with her, too, when she was very young, if I remember right. The experts say incest. There was Mamas and the Papas. I think they were involved. I forgot the fat dude. But there was a lot of shit going on there. Experts say incest is one of the most underreported and least discussed crimes. Well, I don't blame you. Who's going to brag about it? Well, he is. Can you imagine Mackenzie Phillips? Yeah, he's cute, but my daddy got a bigger one than him. Hi, Daddy. Gulp, gulp, gulp. Thank you, Daddy. Go do your homework. End scene. Real healing after incest is possible, Philip says. Really? She had sexual relationship with her father for years. After actress Mackenzie Phillips spoke about her sexual relationship with her musician father online and telephone calls to an anti-sexual assault hotline surge. Now, I don't believe that it's sexual assault if she said, Daddy, yes, honey, can I have it again? Sure, dear. Go, 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 go.
Oh, come on, Brian, enough. Enough.
Thank you. Mackenzie Phillips told Larry King that incest survivors are incredibly underrepresented. So now she wants to be a representative of incest survivors.
Well, it sounded like she was part of it.
Of course she was part of it. That was her relationship with her father. Hi, Daddy. Hi, daughter.
Yeah, but nobody knows for sure if it was consensual or not.
She admitted it was. She admitted she was. Yeah, she said she had sexual intercourse with her father for years. He did not rape her. He did not coerce her. She's even bragging and says on Larry King that incest survivors are incredibly underrepresented. So she wants to represent herself. She's not calling herself a victim. She knows who she was. And she's owning it. And she says that they're underrepresented, so she's going to represent. Her interview in the past few weeks brought a spotlight to the uncomfortable subject topic. Incest, a common but highly stigmatized form of sexual abuse, often leaves the victim shamed, isolated, and unable to tell others what's happening because the predator is someone related to him or her mental health expert says. How do you be a mental health expert? What is the guideline of a mental health expert? You go to school, you learn about human behavior, now you're an expert on mental health. Okay, wait a minute. So you get somebody who's crazy and go, oh, I know crazy. I'm the crazy doctor. Let me talk to him. I'm an expert on mental health. What's going on with you, son? Well, I'm bipolar and I hear voices and I have 12 different personalities. Okay, here's what I'm going to do. I am a doctor, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to charge each one of your personalities. Which one of them have insurance? Okay, I'm going to charge you, I'm going to charge you, I'm going to charge you. Doctor joke. Apparently nobody's a medical doctor here. It says here... for any survivor. You like my jokes, Pat? They're pretty funny. I'm so cute. I can't wait to get you and John to the haunted hotel. Hello, Pat. Hello, John. We're at the haunted hotel. Pat, did you bring the shrooms? Okay, let's trip. For any survivor of sexual trauma, it's challenging and takes a lot of courage to come forward, said Jennifer Wilson, director of the National Sexual Assault Hotline. With incest survivors, it's particularly difficult because not only is there a social stigma pressuring them to stay quiet, but also there's pressure that's within the family to stay quiet. The Rape, Abuse, and Incest National Network, which calls itself the nation's largest anti-sexual assault organization, I like how they come up with the name. I'm a member of the Anti-Sexual Assault Organization. Of course you're Anti-Sexual Assault Organization. What are you going to call yourself? the sexual assault organization, please sign. Shut up. We're the ASAO, the Anti-Sexual Assault Organization. Said it has seen 83% increase in activity on its online hotline and 26% increase on its telephone hotline. You know, we should call. I'm going to call Life. I do this once in a while, Pat. I'm going to call.
I know you do.
Oh, yeah, you were there. We haven't done this in a while. I'm going to call the rape incest hotline. That's what I'm going to do. Let me see if this is.
Oh, are you really?
Yeah, I'm going to call them and see how it works out.
I don't know. Is that politically correct? Or?
No. That's why we do it.
I didn't think so.
1-800. I don't know. Pat, it says 1-800-656-HOPE. I don't know what H-O-P-E on the phone is. I have to get that number. I have to get what H-O-P-E.
What
is that number? H is 4. O is 6. So it's 4-6. 7.
Two starts the alphabet.
4-6-7-3. 4-6-7-3. Let me see, 4673. It's 4673. Let me see if I can.
Are you really
number.
Doing this?
Uh huh. Let me see. This is what we do. Okay. Let me see, 4-6. Yeah. 4673. Let me see. I want to make sure I got that. 4673. H is what? H is 4. O is 6. P is 7. And E is 3. Let me see if it calls. Let's see if I can call. Let's see if it calls in. Sometimes I cannot call an 800 number in the studio. But let's just call and see if I can call. And if it does dial, I will make that call later on in the show, claiming that I love my mother, and my mother loves me, and we're going to get married. Let me see here. And she's the best piece of ass I ever had, but I can't drop her because I know it's wrong, but I love her. You know, we're going to call and see what they do. Right, Pat? All right.
I'm going to be quiet. Put me on mute.
Well, you don't need to go on. Well, I'm going to put you on mute now. I'm just to see. I don't think it's going to go through. I'm going to see if it goes through. If it goes through, it's a go. So let me see if it goes through. So I'm going to put you on mute right now. All right. I'm going to see if it dials. Let's see if it goes through.
You have reached the National Sexual Assault Hotline, operated by
wow.
RAIN. To continue in English, press 1. Para continuar en español, presione el número 2.
I can't do that. See, I can't do that.
I'm sorry, I did not understand that response.
To continue in English, press 1. Para continuar
right.
en español,
right.
presione el número 2.
All right. Okay, so here's what we know. It went through, but I can't use my phone to hit 1. Sometimes they roll us over, meaning that, okay, an operator will be right with you, and they put, let's see if it rolls us over. Wait, hold on. Let's see if it rolls us over. Because we're going to call this sexual. You want to be my mother? We can do this on the line.
No.
Pat? Yes,
no,
you are.
You.
Come on, mommy. Oh,
no.
Behave yourself, mom.
No.
Mommy,
no.
Don't you punish your son. I love you, mommy. I can work
Never.
In the bakery.
No.
Let me see if it rolls us over. I don't think it's going to roll us over. Let me see.
You have reached the National Sexual Assault Hotline, operated by RAIN. To continue in English, press 1. Para continuar en español, presione el número 2.
Sí. Hello?
I'm sorry,
Hola.
I did not understand that response.
To continue in English, press 1. Para continuar en español, presione el número
2. Yes, roll me over. Customer service.
I'm sorry, I did not understand that response.
Quit
to continue in English, press 1.
Stop it. Okay, what I'm going to do in the middle of the show, I'm going to have to put on my headphones because I had the keyboard. The keyboard will come up. And then I could press 1 in the studio, and I could be on the headphones. Would you be able to hear if I'm on the head? I guess you would be able to. Yeah, because on the headphones, I could talk to you because I still have the microphone, and you'd be able to hear me. So we're going to do that. So look forward to me calling the sexual incest hotline, and I'm going to tell them about my mother, Pat Oberlin, who owns the bakery, Patty
no
Cakes.
No way.
Why not?
Don't give my name.
Oh, this is why I'm so messed up. You reject me, Mommy. You keep rejecting me. Hey, you love me,
Mommy.
Come on, Mother. Mother. I'm going to start calling you Mother. Mother. Rejecting me.
I'm probably old enough.
Well, we're going to look forward to that. I'm going to give you credits like Pat Overgun in Niagara Falls. Mommy, mother. Here's the show. Trump compares himself to Nelson Mandela. We're going to do that later on in the show. And
ridiculous.
No, it's not. I want to know how they're doing it. What do they do? I mean, what do they tell the people? It's kind of ridiculous, don't you think? Do they tell them to take an aspirin to join their country club that costs like $25,000 a month? I mean, is it a selling point to their, you know, their convention or whatever they're, what they do? Aren't you curious about what kind of help they give these people? It's our job to understand the help that they give these people, don't you think?
I don't think they give them any help at all.
Really?
Really?
I don't know.
What kind of help do you think they give them?
That's what we're going to find out. What do they do? Okay, Mother, we'll find that out later.
I am not Mommy. Playing that game.
You are, Mommy. Don't reject me. This is why I'm doing the shrooms. You are rejecting me.
No.
Now you be a good mom. Stop it, Mommy. Stop it, Mother. You are a bad mother. Very bad mother. Stop.
Jesus.
Okay. Trump compares himself to Nelson Mandela. At his rally in Derry, D-E-R-R-Y, New Hampshire, former President Trump compared himself to Nelson Mandela. Trump just found out that U.S. stands for us and more. This is going to be a great topic. So anyway, I was talking about Stamos. So he wrote his book about, and I don't know if it's a tell-all book. I don't know what's going on with that, but let's give it a listen. I'm kind of against someone doing a tell-all book, but here's a sample of John Stamos's book, If You Would Have Told Me, and it's a memoir, and that's French. You know what a memoir, it's French, Pat, you know, you're French-Canadian. What's, it's French for what, memoir?
Memories.
Hmm?
Memories.
Yeah. Memories. Well, here it is. Here's a sample of John Stamos and his book. See if you like what he has to say.
Fueled by his own internal heartbeat of kindness and his desire to simply bring joy and peace to the world. You really don't need to hear anything else from me, except that I love him, and I respect him.
Shut up.
And I...
That's Jamie Lee Curtis. Shut up. Now, Jamie Lee Curtis was another one who was fucked up. Jamie Lee Curtis used to do cocaine with Tony Curtis, her father. Jamie Lee Curtis was a very bad, bad, naughty girl. She had a huge ass addiction. And so she's up saying, he's my friend and I want him. She's a crackpot. The best thing I ever had is when I sat at the table with Tony Curtis, man, and he offered me a cigar. Best night of my life. Jamie wasn't there, but Jamie was a bad, bad girl. She was a cocaine nutcase. But that's her talking to introduce John Stamos. Here we go.
Meet him. We all do.
We all do. What is that?
Note from the author. If you would have told me one day that I'd be writing my memoir, I would have told you that you're crazy. Over the years, I've had my fair share of book offers. Made me laugh. Me? Write a book? First of all, I can't spell. And I don't really have anything to say. A memoir sounds like history, deep reflection, a narrative spanning a lifetime, kissing and telling, and looking back with profound wisdom. No, 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 no. Way too overwhelming. Then, life happened. When I tell stories, they often begin and end with, if you would have told me. If you would have told me that in my mid-50s, I would become a father, filling my life with the greatest joy, I never would have believed it. But here I am, living a reality that was once an absurdity. If you would have told me that I'd lose one of my best friends in the blink of an eye, I wouldn't believe that either. But here I am, still processing the confusion, the deep sense of sadness, and overwhelming loss. So, maybe I do have something to say. I don't even know where to start. But here I am starting. I'm sure you have many if you would have told me moments in your life. And I'm not saying mine are more interesting. And if you write a book about them, I'm happy to read it. In fact, I encourage everyone to put their thoughts down on paper. Although it's not for the faint of heart. This is hands down the hardest thing that I've ever done. Who wants to pull back the curtain and not only expose your deepest truths to the world, but to yourself? Through it all, I've been humbled more than I've ever felt entitled, and surprised more than I've ever been expectant. I'm here for every hurt and every heartbreak, because I am here for every joy. Life is both solid and fragile, isn't it? It's amazing how much you can abuse yourself and still live, and how you can die so easily when you least expect it. My gratitude for living this life I've been given is immeasurable. While writing, I sometimes felt like I was dabbling in fiction. Some stories felt too amplified, slightly exaggerated, and a tad outrageous. But once I got my hands on the facts, they turned out to be exact, often even wilder than I imagined. It used to drive me and the rest of my family crazy that my mother saved every picture, poster, piece of press, every contract, piles of teen magazines featuring me, stacks of headshots and postcards. She had every calendar and every schedule of what I did and whom I did it with. She held on to my diaries, scribbles of my thoughts and dreams, and I would say, "Why do you keep all this junk, Mom?" Now I know why. My mother wrote me little notes of encouragement and inspiration, but mostly pure love. They've been a lifeline, a roadmap to a happy life. I haven't always stayed the course, but they've always been there to get me back on track. I read them every day and discover new ones all the time. I've sprinkled them throughout this book in hopes that you make them your own, because everyone deserves to feel special, seen, and supported. Just as I've made a dedication to my parents in my high school yearbook, this autobiography is dedicated to my mother and my father. Without them, I wouldn't have a story to tell. And because of them, there's a fairy tale ending and plenty more magic to believe in. I honor my beautiful sisters, the cushions on either side of me that break my falls and lift me up. They help make me the man I am without judging the little boy I was. To my Disney girl, Caitlin, and my Billy boy, access to my world. This is just some of my saga because the biggest part of my life is just beginning with you. I've changed the name of an asshole or two to protect the guilty, but you know who you are. Read it and weep, dickheads. That is, if you can read. To every friend and fan, I wish that you realize your dreams as you've helped me realize mine. You make my life brighter. I hope to shine a little of that light back at you. Everyone has a book in them. This is mine. Prologue, The Messenger. His throat is red, and his heart is fluttering 1,000 beats per minute. He's always flying high in flashy, iridescent colors, looking for his next hit, his next drink, the nectar of the gods. Well, like a lot of celebrities, when you see him on screen or in picture, he looks huge.
There you go. That was the sample. That was to get you in. What do you think? What do you think?
Well, it's not terrible.
Yeah.
It's not terrible.
Well, here's a little bit more detail. If you would have told a young John Stamos flipping burgers at his dad's fast food joint that one day he'll be a household name and that at the height of his success he'll be living alone, divorced with no kids, high on a cocktail of forgetting, he might have asked, you want fries with that? We mean high on a... You know, I hate it when they try to go poetic. Just say what is high on a cocktail of forgiving or forgetting. What does that mean? Shut up. You know, sometimes they can get too poetic, you know?
Yeah.
John burst onto the scene in General Hospital, propelling him into the teen idol stratosphere, a place that often a point of no return. But Stamos beat the odds, and over the past four decades have proved himself to be one of the generation's most successful and beloved actors. Whether showing off his comedic chops, on Full House, or his dramatic skills on ER, pushing the boundaries on Broadway, or living out his youthful dreams as an honorary beach boy, John has surprised everyone, most of all, himself. It's a universal story about friendship, love, loss, and the courage to embrace love once more. John Stamos' memoir. Thanks. How does that sound? Thanks for the memoir.
Vanilla.
It does,
sounds
right?
A bit vanilla.
It's just, it sounds phony, right? Right? It just sounds, I mean, say who you are, you're a Valley guy. We mean memoir. You're so egotistical. You know what I mean? I don't know. It's like Brian the Hammer's memoir. Hello. It's my memoir. It's like, shut up. Cut the shit.
Actually, it's a fairly common word.
Is it? It's French.
No, but it's fairly common.
How about memory? How about, remember Bob Hope used to do that? Thanks for the memories. He didn't say thanks for the memoirs. Remember that?
No, because he was dealing with soldiers and stuff.
Who?
Bob Hope.
He was, no. I mean, I understand that, but. You remember Bob Hope?
Of course I do.
Okay, here it is right here. I'm going to do this. When I exit the show, I'm going to do a version of Thanks for the Memories. Thanks for the memories of talking to Pat. Well, I knew was all that. She gave me some shrooms, and I left the studio Zoom. I thank you so much. I'm going to redo that. Here you go. Oh, I got to do one for Laverne. I see Laverne. Oh, you know, and I'm doing it at the top of my head. I go, when I finally leave the studio, thanks for the memories of talking to Vern. We call her Laverne. She's nice. She's pretty. She's all that you can have. I want to thank you so much. See? There you go. I'll figure out something. I can't say anything cool about Laverne. She's such an angel-like character. She's like one of those, if the Pope saw her, he says, you know, name her, what is she, what do they do in the Catholic when they make him a saint? All right, we're going to put, okay, who's next? We got Mother Teresa, we got Sarah, we got Laverne. Laverne, she's not even Catholic. Well, they put her in there anyway. All right, you Catholics, you Catholics, let's vote on it. We got 85 votes for Laverne, 3 votes for Mother Teresa, and 2 votes for whatever this girl's name is. Well, Laverne is going to be canonized. I guess that's what they call it in the Catholic religion. You're going to be a saint. You're going to be Saint Laverne. Everybody pays for Saint Laverne. Here we go. I want to hear that. It'll take you back. Here we go.
Thanks for the memory of rainy afternoons, swingy Harlem tunes, motor trips and burning lips and burning toast and prunes.
How lovely it was. Thanks for the memory of candlelight and wine, castles on the Rhine, the Parthenon,
and moments on the Hudson River line.
How lovely it was.
Many's the time that we feasted,
and many's the time that we fasted.
Oh, well, it was swell while it lasted. We did have fun, and no harm done. So thanks for the memory of crap games on the floor,
nights in Singapore. You might have been a headache, but you never were a bore.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thanks for the memory of China's funny walls, transatlantic calls,
that weekend at Niagara when we hardly saw the falls.
How lovely that was.
Thank you.
Thanks for the memory of lunch from 12 to 4, sunburn at the shore, that pair of gay pajamas that you bought and never wore.
Say, by the way, what did happen to those pajamas?
Letters with sweet little secrets that couldn't be put in a day wire.
Too bad it all had to go haywire. That's life, I guess. I love your dress.
Steve?
It's pretty.
Thanks for the memory of faults that you forgave. Rainbows on a wave.
And stockings in the basin when a fellow needs a shave. Thank you so much.
Thanks for the memory of gardens at Versailles.
And beef and kidney pie.
The night you worked and then came home with lipstick on your tie.
How lovely that was.
Huh?
For the memory of lingerie with lace.
Yes, and Pilsner by the case. And how I jumped the day you trumped my one and only ace.
How lovely that was.
We said goodbye with a highball.
And I got as high as a steeple.
Did you?
But we were intelligent people.
No tears, no fuss.
Hooray for us.
Strictly entre-nous. Darling, how are you?
And how are all those little dreams that never did come true?
Awfully glad I met you.
Cheerio, toodaloo.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Groucho Marx.
Huh?
It was, wasn't it? Groucho Marx.
It was. They do. It says, thanks for the memory. It was written in 1938. It was a popular song with music composed by Ralph Ranger and lyrics by Leo Robin. It was introduced in the 1938 film, The Big Broadcast of 1938 by Bob Hope and Shirley Ross, and recorded by Shep Fields and his orchestra featuring John Seary, Sr., and vocals by Bob Boudet.
Really?
Yeah.
It really sounds like Groucho.
Yeah, 1938. Yeah.
They all sounded the same back then, though.
They did. Here's another one. Here's Bob's own little thing, just a little bit.
Thanks for the memory of sentimental verse. Nothing in my purse, and chuckles when the preacher said, for better or for worse. How
yeah.
lovely it was. Thanks for the memory of Schubert's serenade, little things of jade, and traffic jams and anagrams and bills we never paid. How lovely it was.
There you go. Back in the day where everything was innocent without shrooms. Okay.
Are you kidding? They had stuff we haven't even dreamed of.
They actually did. They actually did. Here we go. 352, you're live on the air with Pat Oberlin and her pal, Brian. Is this Mr.
Big
Is this Pastor
morning,
Don?
It's Pastor Don.
Is this Pastor Don?
Yes, sir.
Pastor Don Jr.?
Well, hello.
Yes, sir. It is I.
Hey.
How
oh,
y'all
good.
Doing?
Hey, how, good. How are you doing, Pastor Don Jr.? How are you feeling? Good to hear your voice.
I'm feeling very well. I'm just getting in. I apologize for my tardiness, but I've been moving, shaking, and making it happen.
Well, that's good.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I expect of you. Nothing less, Pastor Don Jr., CEO. That's what I expected.
Now, I got to ask, what's going on with my eyebrows? My eyebrows.
Ooh.
Wow.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm
Ooh,
hearing the data. Is that
your
my
phone?
I didn't hear you, Pastor Don Jr. That was static.
No, your topic. It says Trump compares himself to Nelson
yeah,
Mandela.
Yeah, oh,
what's
oh,
going on
yeah,
with that?
Yeah, here, let me play this. Let me play this, this fool. Yeah, he compares himself to Nelson Mandela. He also discovered U.S. was spelled us. He discovered that. Here it is. He actually did. He actually discovered. He goes, did anybody else know that U.S. means us? I mean, he said that yesterday. He goes, I just realized that.
Yeah,
he's losing it. Here it is right here.
God.
Here it is. This is according to Forbes breaking news. Here we go.
You know, I'm supposed to be getting because Donald Fairchild. You know, I'm supposed to be getting because Donald Trump challenged the election. So let's put him in jail for the rest of his life, okay? Even though it was a crooked election. Do you ever know? They only go after the people that challenge the results of the election. They don't go after the people that cheated. Those people are free. Those people have no problem. If you want to challenge the result of an election, they hound you. Look what happened this weekend with two good people. They hound them and they scare them and they, but we don't get scared. We don't get scared. I'll tell you what, I don't mind being Nelson Mandela because I'm doing it for a reason.
There you go.
Holy crap. And the other day he said on a speech something about the leader of Hungary, that he was a friend and he was a leader of the country.
Yeah. And he wasn't he was a leader. He said he was a leader of Turkey, but he was actually a leader of Hungary. Then he told people not to vote. You don't need to vote. Who cares? what did he say that? He's losing it. I'm trying to get it. You don't need to vote. Let me see. I hope they pull it up. Okay, here we go. Listen to Donald Trump telling people, don't even worry about voting. You don't need to vote. Here we go. Here's Donald Trump.
You can't sleep because a swollen prostate is forcing you to pee several...
All right. Swollen prostate is forcing you to pee. Okay, let's see if we can go there. Okay, here we go.
Campaign speech in New Hampshire
Okay, now this. Donald Trump gave a campaign speech in New Hampshire yesterday. And let's just say, in all seriousness, by the way, this is not a joke. If Joe Biden had said the things that Trump said, most Republicans would be calling for him to be put in an old age home.
I'm for us. You know how you spell us, right? You spell us, U.S.
That's right. In case you didn't know, this is Trump and his teaching lessons. You're not as spell us. It's U.S., right? He has to even ask the audience, right? Okay. This is your champion, not mine. Here you go.
You know how you spell us, right? You spell us, U.S. I just picked that up. Has anyone ever thought of that? I just picked that up. A couple of days I'm reading and it said us. And I said, you know, if you think about it, us equals U.S.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Oh, man. Woo! Talk about the cuckoo who flew over the White House. He just discovered that U.S. sounds like us. Did anybody else notice that? Just me?
Man, come on.
Oh, my.
Here it is.
I just picked that up. A couple of days I'm reading, and it said us. And I said, you know, if you think about it, us equals U.S. We had that all set to go, but then we had a little election that went astray. So we have to be careful. You got to get out there and you got to watch those voters. You don't have to vote. Don't worry about voting. The voting, we got plenty of votes. You got to watch election night. You know, it used to be election.
Don't worry about voting. We got enough votes. Don't worry about voting.
God, that man's losing it.
It gets worse. Don't worry about voting. We got enough votes. Go on your way.
What do you mean it gets worse?
So we have to be careful. You got to get out there and you got to watch those voters. You don't have to vote. Don't worry about voting. The voting, we got plenty of votes. You got to watch election night. You know, it used to be election day, election night. Now it's election month. Now it's election period. Some of these things going for 53 days. It's terrible. Viktor Orban. Anyone ever hear of him? He's probably like one of the strongest leaders anywhere in the world. And he's the leader of, right? He's the leader of Turkey.
Yeah, he got that
so,
one.
Willie, first of all, I just picked that up. Us in U.S., that's interesting.
Yeah.
Don't worry about voting, secondly. Third, Orban, of course, maybe he's never even visited Turkey. I don't know. Maybe the leader of Hungary has visited. But it's troubling to me. He calls Orban one of the strongest leaders and says it in a wonderful way. Orban, of course, is the person who shut down all of his opponents politically. He's tapped reporters' phones. He's destroyed independent news agencies. He's led phony tax investigations into reporters that were critical of him, chased them from the country, brags that he's an illiberal, that they have illiberal democracy and not Western-style democracy. And again, there's a guy who keeps thinking he's running against Barack Obama, not doing well.
No, as Mika said, if that were Joe Biden, they'd be running wall-to-wall on certain networks with medical experts describing what was happening here and why he needed help and why he should probably step off the stage. I would add in, Joe, to the collection of comments that he made yesterday. He compared himself to Nelson Mandela, who, of course, spent nearly 30 years in prison for fighting apartheid in South Africa, saying if he goes to jail, he's happy to be just like Mandela. Also, promised in his next term to build, like Israel, an iron dome over the United States. Israel, of course, is the size of New Jersey, so that would be a heck of a project for the United States to undertake. But Caddy Kay, this is the man who has been, frankly, marginalized by this war, by the gravity of what's been happening for the last couple of weeks. As he has said, Hezbollah was, quote, very smart. Again, blaming Israel yesterday for what happened to them, a terrorist attack against them, and periodically visiting courtrooms across the country in between.
Yeah, I mean, telling your supporters that they don't need to worry about voting is certainly a novel strategy. It's not one I've ever heard on an American presidential election before. I mean, it'll be interesting to see how much Donald Trump's diehard supporters have any of their views changed by the comments he made about Hamas, which I think probably will have hurt him more than the kinds of things he said last night. But as we all know, this election is only going to be decided by about 100,000 people in five states, and if some of them are watching that kind of thing and seeing him confuse the leader of one country with another at a time when we are in a critical situation around the world, that could give pause to some of those people who may have been wavering, you know, in the middle, to think, actually, this is somebody who we can't trust with the security of global affairs.
Well, again, a guy who thinks he's running against Barack Obama, who hasn't run for president in 11 years.
It's kind of frightening listening to him.
There you go, Trump in a nutshell. And I do mean nutshell. I remember when Trump says that, Hannibal Lecter loved him? Remember Trump said that?
No, there you go.
Hannibal Lecter. I mean, Trump said Hannibal Lecter voted for him. Now, Hannibal Lecter is a character in a movie. Now, was there a real Hannibal Lecter? I think if there was, but he was talking about the character Hannibal Lecter. Said he liked Trump, so Trump likes him. And if you remember the character Hannibal Lecter, he ate people. So Trump likes cannibals who eat people because he liked Trump. There you go. That's your champion. Let me see. Likes him. I'm not making this up. Let me see if I can find it. Okay, here we go. Hannibal Lecter loves me. I have a good body. that's the title.
How does this weird?
So this is your Republican runner-up. Let's see if I can get it.
He's got a consultant somewhere. This is the worst consultant in politics that thinks he looks good in a bathing suit, right? No, he spends so much time at the beach. You know, how do you do that? And, you know, I have a much better body than him. But I'm not really sure that I want to expose it with the sun blaring down and the sand, the surf, the wind. You know, it's not a pretty sight.
That was Donald Trump attacking President Biden's body and saying that he believes he has a much better body than President Biden. This is what Donald Trump was talking about during a speech over the weekend during massive international crises. This is the type of discourse that he believes is important to his base. I'm Ben Mycelis from the Midas Touch Network. I want to show you two speeches that Donald Trump gave in Iowa over the weekend to just show how dangerous, how disqualifying, how problematic, how utterly bizarre these speeches are that his base just loves and just keeps eating up. And then I want to compare that to what President Biden was saying and doing over the weekend during the same period of time. So in addition to saying that he believes he has a much better body than President Biden, here is Donald Trump attacking the retired military general Mark Milley, former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, who Donald Trump just recently threatened to execute and on a social media post said to be continued. Play the clip.
And I had a couple of guys like this guy Milley. What a stupid person he is. Milley, no, he's a stupid. Sir, he said to me, it's cheaper to leave the equipment than it is to take it.
And is Donald Trump talking about issues? Is he talking about prescription drug prices? Is he talking about protecting Social Security or education? Or
I like him because he said on television, on one of the, I love Donald Trump, so I love him.
Hannibal Lecter was a great actor because he says Hannibal Lecter supports him. Play this clip.
I said, that's Silence of the Lamb. You know what that is? Has anybody seen Silence of the Lamb? Hannibal Lecter, how great an actor was he? You know why I like him?
Hannibal Lecter was not an actor.
No, he wasn't.
Anthony Hopkins played Hannibal Lecter. Hannibal Lecter was the character Anthony Hopkins played. So Hannibal Lecter was not an actor. And Hannibal Lecter was a cannibal. He killed people and he ate them. Similar to Jeffrey Dahmer. But Hannibal Lecter did it with some sauce and some wine, and he made it more delightful. But anyway, that's who Hannibal Lecter was. But here's Donald Trump.
So we're back with Cassidy.
Oops. I screwed up.
He's got a consultant somewhere. This is the worst consultant.
I screwed up.
Can you believe this?
I lost it. Let me see.
And you wouldn't be having all the problems?
Anyway. Anyway, Hannibal Lecter loved him.
Sexual abuse and defamation federal case in these speeches that he's giving, whining that he is. He was talking about the Spitfire.
Are you what?
You know that? The Spitfires, they knock.
Anyway. I can't find it.
He's talking about.
So anyway, I can't find it. He just says that Hannibal Lecter loved him.
He was a good actor.
Yeah, he was a good actor. Wait a minute, here it is. Okay, maybe I can passport this here. I got the wrong thing. I got so much up here. I'm trying to do everything. Where is my assistant? Oh, I fired him. Okay, here we go. Let me see. Well, even then, I can't get it. Anyway, trust me, it's about Hannibal Lecter who loves him. There you go. So that's it. That's it. So that's Hannibal. Okay, here we go.
Lecter was a great actor because he says Hannibal Lecter supports him. Play this clip. Protecting Social Security or education or issues that are important to seniors or students. Is he saying any of that? Absolutely not. Instead, he is saying that he believes Hannibal Lecter was a great actor because he says Hannibal Lecter supports him. Play this clip.
I said, that's Silence of the Lamb. You know what that is? Has anybody seen Silence of the Lamb? Hannibal Lecter, how great an actor was he? You know why I like him? Because he said on television on one of the, I love Donald Trump, so I love him. I love him. I love him. He said that a long time ago, and once he said that, he was in my camp, I was in his camp. Yeah, I don't care if he was the worst actor. I'd say he was great to me.
Yeah, Hannibal Lecter was not the best actor in the world. But he said it on TV, Hannibal Lecter, that he loved Donald Trump. Okay. Was there really a Hannibal Lecter, you think? I think it was based on a true story, right? It was based on a true story. There was. Dr. Hannibal Lecter. No, it wasn't. It is a character created by the American novelist Thomas Harris. It's a character. Donald Trump thinks it's a real person. But even if you think it's a real person, Hannibal Lecter is a serial killer who eats his victims.
Yeah.
Before his capture, he was a respected forensic psychiatrist. After his incarceration, he is consulted by the FBI agents Will Graham and Clarice Starling to help him find other serial killers. He was a character. Lecter first appeared in a small role as a villain in Harris' 1981 thriller Red Dragon, which was adapted into the film Manhunter. So that's what he was. He was a created character by an American novelist named Thomas Harris. He was not real. So Donald Trump is saying, what is Donald Trump saying? That last week Hannibal Lecter endorsed him? He loves Donald Trump?
Here Donald Trump says that he believes that China...
Over the last... Hannibal Lecter, how great an actor was he? You know why I like him? Because he said on television on one of the... I love Donald Trump, so I love him. I love him.
Oh, God.
He said that a long time ago, and once he said that, he was in my camp, I was in his camp. Yeah, I don't care if he was the worst actor. I'd say he was great to me.
Wow. That's like me saying, you know who used to listen to my show? Winnie the Pooh. That Pooh Bear. Love Winnie. Winnie used to come in, ask for honey. He used to call me Christopher Robbins when I wasn't looking, but I just saw Winnie was just drunk on some mushrooms. But I love the Pooh Bear. He loved me, and I'm in his camp. That's right. He's a great merchandiser, Winnie the Pooh. I love Winnie the Pooh. Zach, that's how it is. That's like me saying that. That's how me saying that. That's like Pastor Don Jr., CEO, saying, you know, on Fridays, one of the characters on Fridays that, oh, yeah, I partied with Craig on Fridays. Cool dude. It's like,
oh, wow.
Pastor Don Jr., he's a character. You know what I'm saying? He's a cool dude. No, Pastor Don Jr. Oh, yeah, Fridays. It was on Fridays. I used to go to his house, man, party with him. He was a cool dude. And then he left and he did Fridays 2 and didn't see him. Dude never wrote me. Mm. Well, there you go. When people lose their minds, they lose their minds. You know, Pastor Don Jr., I think you can relate to me on this one. And I think you can relate to me too, Pat. I think you can relate to me too. Somebody pissed me off. Really pissed me off.
How?
It's a female, but pissed me off yesterday. Just pissed me off. You know, and people are stupid. When they say something like, I'm not saying this person said it. Somebody said this long ago. Well, you know, Brian, I'm mad at you, and I'm not going to call in. I'm not going to listen to the show because I don't want you to get the ratings. I'm going, what? Yeah, I'm not going to let you have my ratings. I don't give a fuck.
Oh, well.
It's not like, it's true. It's not like, I mean, I'm competing with ABC, CBS, and they're the highest rated show. I mean, I know where my ratings are. I know who listens to it. I know when I go up and down. I know where I am. I see it once a month. But it's like, so I'm going to really fuck up your ratings. And I go, okay. Whether you listen to me or not, it's not like I'm getting money. You know, it's not like it's YouTube, where YouTube has a lot of people, and it's true. If you get a lot of people listening to YouTube, they used to pay you good money. YouTube used to pay good money. I forgot what it was. At first, it was like over 500,000 views or whatever. They used to pay you good. There are people Pastor Don Jr., right? People were making a living off of that shit, right? They used to pay you good.
You still do?
Hmm?
You got to have your page monetized to make the money. If your page is not monetized, it won't make any money.
Right. But now they're cutting out. There are people making $1 million on YouTube doing videos. They would get people who are nobodies, you know, would say something like they'd try hair color or whatever, and they would do a sell, they would do a YouTube talking about some product. Next thing you know, they're making
They make more money off YouTube than the Super Bowl ads.
Right. You're absolutely right. But Blog Talk is not like that. Blog Talk in the early days, they did have what they call click on ads, meaning that if my show was going on, they would listen to my show, and then there'd be an ad pop up, and they'll click on the ad, and I would get a piece of that. I mean, for like I've been on for like 11, 12 years. For the first 6 years, I didn't pay for this. I made enough money on Blog Talk that they took care of my, you know, my monthly thing. They did, and Blog Talk cut that out now. We don't have AdSense anymore. Blog Talk doesn't do that anymore. They cut that shit out. So this person pissed me off yesterday, really pissed me off. And I said, okay. But yeah, I don't know. I'm narcissistic. I'm kind of silly. It's like, you piss me off. You're not going to get the enjoyment of my wares. You're not going to do it. And so meaning I'll block you on Facebook. I will not talk to you on Facebook. You know, you piss me off. And then I hear, I don't care because I follow you, and I know when I set up the show. When I set up the show on Blog Talk, they get a notification that Brian's on. If you go to my page and follow me, you'll know when I'm on because it'll send a notice to your phone. Brian's on, and I have the topic of the show. And some people get a little, I've seen housewives going, oh, my God. It's like, oh, Brian, I got to unfollow you because the title of your show. I go, what's wrong with the title of the show? Really? The cunt and the fucker? Okay, I'll tone it down a little bit.
Oh, wow.
I can't have that on my phone. All right. I'll tone it down. I had some weird shit on there. I got some weird title shit on my thing. I had to tone it down. So they were listening to the show, following the show. They didn't need to talk to me on Facebook. They're like, fuck you. Okay, you blocked me on Facebook. Fuck you. Okay, fine. Then I realized, wait a minute. They're following me on Blog Talk. They're hearing the show. They're still interacting with me. And, you know, I hate this. Am I crazy, Pat? Am I crazy, Pastor Don Jr., CEO? Am I crazy? Where they get, I don't have to deal with him, but I can still interact with him, and he doesn't know it. So I still get him, meaning that I don't want to talk to you. So Brian says, okay, so I'm not dealing with them, so I am without them, but yet they're cheating because they're going, I can still listen to them, and I'm still interacting.
Right.
Does that piss you off, or am I just going cuckoo on that? Because I figured if I block you.
Yeah, I mean, I have 5,000 social media networks, so I'm connected to everybody, but it's just the world, you know. I mean, everybody got their own Twitter, Facebook. They have a social media platform. They like, I happen to have 5,000 because I deal with a lot of people. But to each his own. Like, we're on Blog Talk Radio right now. This is our thing. But not everybody's understanding what's happening.
Right. But I know it's petty. Petty boy. I'm a petty, petty, petty man. If you say Brian's petty, I'm a petty, petty, hollow, self-absorbed asshole. I know this. This is part of my charm. I welcome it.
Come on now.
I know.
Okay, you can't run away from it.
Yeah. But I have a good heart. But I hate the fact that if I cut somebody off, I don't have the benefit of talking to them, hearing them, seeing what they wrote. They're cut off. They're non-existent. I hate the fact that I'm cutting them off, but they still have the benefit of listening to me, interacting with me, talking about. I feel like I haven't cut you off. So what I did was,
well, you're a host you got to keep in mind, man. You're in the spotlight. You're the host of the show. We're on the Brian the Hammer Jackson in the Morning Show, so it comes with territory.
Yeah, I know, but I'm so petty. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go in today, and I'm going to look at the follows, and believe me, there are many. I'm going to sound like Donald Trump. They're admitting there's been no follows like this follow ever, ever in the world. There's no follow. This is amazing follows. Nobody has this. Nobody. Have you ever heard this follow? You have never heard these follows ever. So I'm going to look in the follows, and I'm going to unfollow them, so they cannot listen to the show anymore. They're gone.
Oh, wow.
They're gone. I'm not getting paid any money on that, and I know I'm petty, but it's like if I'm not talking to you, then you should not be listening to me, and you should not have no contact with me. This is what goodbye is about, right? I mean, can you imagine saying goodbye to your ex? Okay, listen, it didn't work out. I think we should separate. I think so. I think we should break up. I think so. Can we? And women do this. Can we still be friends? No. What part of we are no longer together do you get? You know what I mean? What part of our relationship did? And I never understood that. I never understood that meaning. I never understood that in their mind. It's like if your relationship didn't work, how can? Well, can we still be friends? No. The reason we're breaking up because we can't stand each other. Well, we're better off as friends. That's because and friends. I haven't got into your past yet. I got into your past. We had a relationship, and it didn't work. So why am I going back to the beginning? Because I already got in your past. So why am I going back to being friends with you? I never understood. We're only friends to get into their past, am I right? If you're attracted to, I hate to tell you, this is what guys do. We just don't go in at you and say, let's be lovers and let's move in and let's get married. No, we're friends first. That's what we do. We put the friend face on. Hello, I am your friend. Oh, hi, Brian. Yes. I will listen to your stupid comments. I will listen to your stupid reasoning. I will listen to your silly talk. I will listen to you. I will put up with your silly girlfriends. I will put up paying for shit that I should not be paying for just to get into your panties because we're friends. We're at the friend level. Friend pays for shit. Friends pay.
Oh.
You know, oh, Brian, can I come over? They do. And I will put up with all that. Until I get you drunk, all this time I'm planning, okay, the bitch is going to be over. All this time, it's Friday night, I got the Hennessy, I got the vodka, I got this. I already know her secrets because she told me as a friend. She told me what went wrong with her ex-boyfriend as a friend. She told me what she didn't like as a friend. I got it down. I know everything about this bitch. I'm going to get into those drawers tonight. Oh, Brian, come on. Yeah, come on over.
What's your girlfriend going to say about that?
That's how you think she became my girlfriend. We were friends.
I see.
You got to be friends first. Oh, you're such a nice guy. You're my friend. Yes, I'm your friend. I hate to tell you, but you know what Tyrone used to do to me? No, what did Tyrone do? Well, Tyrone used to just do that. He tried to eat me out, and he didn't even finish. I go, he didn't finish eating? No, he didn't finish nothing. He just thought it was takeout, and he just left. And I go, that's fucked up. Because if I was there, I would stay for the whole platter. I'm not leaving. Oh, Brian, you're such a good friend. Yeah. Yum yum. I love eating pussy. Real men eat that. I don't even want to put my penis in you because that's probably invading your comfort zone. I'll just stay over here eating the pussy. Yum yum. So I don't bother you. Is that okay if I just eat your pussy? I just really don't want to make love to you. You know, is that okay? We're friends. And then you become girlfriend and boyfriend, and that's it. Then you break up, and then you want to say, can we go back to being friends? No, you don't get to be the benefit of friends anymore. I already got you. That shit has passed. So anyway, I'm going to go into my blog talk thing and find out who's following me. And then I'm going, because I know she's following. Like, again, this is somebody just pissed me off last night. And so that gave me an idea. I never thought about that before. And then it's like, how is she following me? How does she know? I mean, she said something. It's like, how does she know? Because I'm not. And I go, oh, fuck, she's listening to the show. Following me, she's listening to the show. And I don't come on regularly anymore. I used to come on at 7 a.m. Monday through Friday. You know where to get me. You know where my, you know what I mean? You know where I am. So now that I come on her every so often, how is she following me? How does she know up to date? You know, because I'll talk about my life and everything, and I'll talk about Patricia's bakery and her baked goods and the devil food case and the mushroom pastry. Yum. It's out of this world. So how does she know about that? And then I realized, fuck, I wasn't even thinking about that. They follow me on Blog Talk. So I said, I wrote back to her. I said, you know what? You're done. I'm done. I'm done. And so it gave me an idea of going to Blog Talk. I'm going to go right after this show. I'm going to go to Blog Talk, and I'm going to hit some of those people who are following me that I'm no longer talking to, that I don't want to talk to anymore. And I'm going to uncheck that box. And I even told this one here, I said, you know what? I'm done with you. Oh, well, I'm not done with you. Really? I am done with you. Me. Okay, I'm blocking you on Twitter. I'm blocking you on Facebook. I'm blocking you on here. I can still find you. Okay, and that's what took me. I go, okay, now I'm going to unblock you here. And I even told her, you won't even know when I'm alive. You won't even know if I'm live or it's a rerun, because I'm going to start putting up shows that the best of when I'm not on the air anymore. So you'll have no idea when I'm actually live on the air or if it's just a rerun. You don't know when I'm coming on. You don't know anything. So, and then you'll eventually get tired of it, and then I would disappear from your life like I made you disappear from mine. That's it. That's it. I don't really believe that they should have the benefit if, and I really don't, but Pat, it's like if you were friends, but yet they're on your on your website list where each month you get free tarot reading, or maybe you get free merchandise. And even though you don't want to talk to them, that just because they are still a member of your group, that they get free shit from you. Wouldn't that piss you off? Or is it just me?
No, I guess I can see your point.
Yeah, once you say goodbye, goodbye. Quit cheating. Quit cheating. You know what I mean? Quit listening to me, because this is part of your punishment, you know? We say goodbye. I don't talk to you. I don't see you. I don't hear from you. I don't know what you're saying. You should be able to have the same, we should be on the same level, don't you think? You should not be able to hear from me. You should not be able to know what I'm doing. You should not be able to see where I'm at. You should not be able to do that. That's only fair, don't you think? I think that's fair. So anyway, so what's sad is this. So here's sad. So have you heard, so I don't usually watch this show, Dancing with the Stars. I usually don't watch the show. You ever heard that show, Pat, Dancing with the Stars?
Yeah.
Well, they used to have an old guy on there. His name was Lynn Goodman. He used to be the judge. Remember the old guy? Have you ever seen Dancing with the Strong?
No, I didn't ever watch that show.
Okay. Well, he was an older guy on the show. He was a judge. He's been there for years. Great guy. Good guy. Well, he died. Recently.
Yeah.
He was, I think he was 78 or 80 or something like that. He died.
Well, that happened.
Yeah. But what he died of was prostate cancer. That's what he died of. What happened was that he had prostate, long and short of it, he had prostate cancer, and it went to his bones, and he died. So I now do you? You probably don't know. Do you remember the movie Shaft with Richard Roundtree?
Well, I remember the movie, but I don't remember who was in it.
Okay.
That much.
Well, who was in it was a
movie.
Star. Who was in it was a star.
Okay. Okay.
Richard Roundtree.
I remember him.
Well, he died recently. Oh, guess what?
What?
Cancer. Cancer.
Jeez, everybody's dying of cancer.
Well, I looked, and I had it here, and I can't believe I didn't tape it. So I had it on my phone. Of celebrities that you know, and but you did not know they had cancer, and you would be surprised. Let me see if I can get it back. You'd be surprised who hit it and dealing with it. Well, we already know just recently, what's her name? Three's Company girl, Suzanne Somers.
Yeah, she died.
She just died. She was fighting it for, 20 years? She was fighting it for, 23 years, and it came back?
Oh, really?
Yeah. Here we go. You'll be surprised. And so I looked at this. Well, this is just breast cancer. But you'd be surprised. Number one, Sharon Doherty. Remember Sharon Doherty, the actress? 90210, Sharon Doherty. Then she did Charm, I think. She's living with she's living with advanced breast cancer. Matthew Knowles, he discovered he carries the BRCA gene. He's a black dude. He's the father and celebrity of Beyonce. He's Beyonce's father. That means she's susceptible to cancer. These are people still living, by the way. Julia Louis-Dreyfus, remember her? She has it. She has breast cancer. These are people who are still living with it, and she's doing treatment. Joan London. Remember Joan London? The journalist and TV personality? I didn't know she had breast cancer. She has breast cancer.
She doesn't anymore.
I know, really. It says, you don't. Don't say that.
Not right now, no.
No, don't say that. You curse yourself. Joan London says, I sat there stunned. How could this be? London shared her broad. I considered myself fit and healthy. I get checked faithfully every year, and I didn't have a history of breast cancer in my family. She took immediate actions and underwent chemotherapy, followed by a lumpectomy and radiation. That's London. That is Joan London. Another one, I don't know who she is, probably one of those Real Housewives kind of person. Juliana Rennick, TV personality, underwent a double mastectomy. Cindy looked her up. I forgot she did a little bit. She was married to a major star. She has it. These are people still living, by the way. She was diagnosed in December 2011. She underwent a double mastectomy. And the actress, Brad Pitt. Brad Pitt married her. Come on now, you know
Angelina Jolie.
She found out that she was prone to the gene of cancer, so she took out everything. She had a double mastectomy. She had a hysterectomy. She took out almost every body part she had that cancer could come into. A lot of stars are doing this preventive thing because they don't want to catch it because they're prone to the gene. She took out everything. Can you imagine that? Hello, kitty. Andrea Mitchell.
Yes, Fred.
Yes, said Fred. I didn't know Wanda Sykes. I had no idea Wanda Sykes. See, she opted for a preventative double mastectomy. Stars are doing that. They're saying they don't really have it, but they're prone to get it. So they're already going to go ahead and remove the shit so they doesn't get it. So she did a double mastectomy, a preventive double mastectomy. Melissa Etritz, she had stage 2 of breast cancer. These are people still with me, by the way. Edie Falco, you know the, come on, help me out. Nurse Jackie, and what's that mafia thing she did? Tony, well, anyway. Peter Chris, he's a drummer. He had a cancerous lump in his chest. And we can go on and on and on. Suzanne Summer, but we know what happened with her. She's been fighting it for 23 years. Christina Applegate, she had BRCA, the generic mutation which causes cancer. She got rid of that. She's been with that for a while. Sheryl Crow, she had early stage of breast cancer. Cynthia Nixon, she's an actress. I remember her. She had breast cancer after a routine mammogram. Olivia Newton-John, of course, she died. She died. She's dead now, isn't she, Olivia?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, she had, she did her monthly breast exams and everything. She died of breast cancer. At this point, she was still alive. Even after a mammogram and needle biopsy came out negative, my instincts were telling me that something wasn't right, she recalled. After a surgical biopsy, they found the cancer. I don't tell the same story to scare people, she said, but to really stress the importance of knowing your own body and trusting your instinct. This is the very reason I am such a big supporter of monthly breast self-exam. There she goes. She's also the Olivia Newton-John Cancer Wellness and Research Institute. She did. Carly Simon, Jacqueline Smith, remember Jacqueline Smith, Charlie's Angels,
yeah.
Breast cancer, Rita Wilson, remember Rita Wilson? That's Tom Hanks' wife, she has it.
Really?
Sandra Lee, chef, she was a chef, she has it. Janice Dickinson, remember that she's a former model? She had DCIS.
Yep.
She was diagnosed 2016 with breast cancer after the doctor detected a pea-sized lump in her right breast. Some of these people are alive. Initially, when the doctor found the lump, it hurt. It became quite painful when you touch it. That's the point where I knew this is serious. In spite of her shock and fear, however, Dickinson said, "I'm not going to let that define me. The fear I'm going through to get through this, I'll be just fine." Dickerson passed medical history. Is Dickerson still alive? Is she still alive?
I don't think
Janice
she should be. She was...
Really? I don't know.
I don't know.
Janice...
Wait a minute. Janice Dickinson? No, I don't know that name. Sorry.
She used to be a model, but a great whore. One of the greatest whores around. Janice Dickinson, I think she's still alive. Spouse, she has a spouse, yeah. She has 2 children, and doesn't say she died. Early life, she was born in Brooklyn, mother of a Polish person. Modeling career, television career, she's still alive. She has been married 4 times. Her former husband are Ron Levy, Simon Fields, Alan B. Gersten, and also known as Albert Gersten. She has a son. That's it. She's still alive. So, as you can tell, I mean, my God. There's my porn. I got to send, look at my beautiful porn that I saved. I'm so ashamed of myself. That's That's the problem with the one time I was in, I swear to God, it was like, so I went to get a daily check. I swear this really happened. Went to get a daily check. I would go fine. Go in and Mr. Jackson, okay, fine. Just sit on the table, Mr. Jackson, okay, fine. Doctor comes in and goes, what kind of medication are you using? I go, damn, I can't remember the name of medication. Ever since I went to Patricia Oberlin's bakery and her baked goods, I can't remember shit. And he goes, oh, you know Pat, too? I go, yeah, I know Pat. Oh, do you know Pat, Doc? Oh, man, I was in Niagara Falls, man. I'm still thinking I'm there, but I'm really here. I know. She has some good shit. So, but, so he goes to me. He goes, well, what medication you're on? I go, I don't know the name of my name. So I have it in my phone, right? I have it in my phone. Here we go. This is it. So it's in there. What medication you're on? I go, here it is, Doc. And he look at the phone. And he goes, Mr. Jackson? I go, yeah. Why am I looking at Pornhub? I go, and there's a guy jacking off, right? I go, no, don't turn away, Doc. Turn away. I don't know how that got on my phone, Doc. I have no idea. Ever since I went to that Pat Bakery, I've been getting weird shit on my phone. But that was embarrassing. That was embarrassing. But there you go. And I didn't even go through the whole list. I just gave you a brief idea that there are people who are living with, and living. I use the word living as well as I am. I'm living with it. Cancer. That's the first time I ever admitted it on the show, that I'm living with it.
You have a speaker now.
Okay.
Okay.
There's a speaker in the house as of now.
Oh, so you have to be nice and don't be such a potty mouth because John's going to get mad at you. John is listening. John is like Siri. He's like Siri. I heard what you said, honey. So there you go. There you go. There's a lot of people out there living with cancer, and there's a lot of people who are dying of cancer. Come see, come saw. That's French means.
I just got my nose nitrode today because I've got precancer starting.
What do you mean? Were you diagnosed with precancer? What do you mean? Were you diagnosed with
today,
that?
Today, this morning, yes. Yes, this morning, and they sprayed the nitro on my face. So I'm going to look awful for a few days.
No, but did the doctor give you spray, or this is just something that homeopathic?
No, he sprayed it on me to freeze the skin.
Did they take a biopsy, kiddo? If they must have, if they said you're precancerous.
Didn't need to.
He could just tell by your
one
skin.
Look. Yeah.
Really? But he diagnosed you. He just told you by your skin, by looking at you, he says you have precancer, skin cancer, melanoma?
No, what's it called? Let me read.
Is it melanoma? Is it melanoma or something like that?
No.
Okay.
No, it's actinic. Keratosis.
Oh, okay. I have no idea, but the ptosis is I'm familiar with. Wow. So what he does, so he sprayed it on your face, and what did he say? He spray it on your face a couple of times a day, and it should go away?
It's freezing agent that they spray on your face.
Right.
Or wherever you're affected, and it kills the skin.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to grow new skin. It's instead of taking a scalpel.
Wow.
So
but he used the word cancer.
And I might puff up. Yep, precancerous.
Right. He used that word, didn't he? Okay.
Yeah,
well, I wish
you
luck.
My dad had it, too. Thank
oh,
you.
Oh, he did? I know, like I said,
John
I have it.
John has it, too.
John has what?
John has it, too.
What
skin.
Does he have? Oh, does he really?
Same as me. Yeah.
Oh, is he getting sprayed too? Are you spraying him down?
No, he had something removed a while ago.
Oh, he did. He had a skin graft, huh? That's ouch. Ouch.
Yeah.
Ouch. That's a bitch.
Yeah, not fun.
No, no, not fun at all. Well, there you go. We covered Dr. Hannibal Lecter, who endorsed Trump, and Trump loves Hannibal Lecter. We got that done. We talked about Mackenzie Phillip. Oh, that's what we're supposed to do, is make the call. Okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to have to switch to my headset. So I'm going to ask Pat.
And put me on mute.
Okay.
I am not.
Come on, you're supposed
to be
my mommy.
No, I am not doing that.
Mother, this is why I messed up. Stop it, Mother.
No, because we use my real name and everything. So
I know. We're not going to do that. I'm going to tell them that when I was a kid and I was in the Boy Scout, Mother was busy doing shrooms. She was never around. She was in another planet. And one day I got into the shrooms, and me and Mother held hands, and we went to another universe that nobody knew where it was. It was our secret place. And we found out later it was a closet. But what the hell? Mother.
You okay, son?
But let me see if I can call them. So I'm gonna play a song, so I can switch to my headset, see if that'll work, and then I can hit the button and find out what they do for incest victims. And find out what they do. So John.
Well, if you're just calling to ask what they can do, that's different.
Well, I'm gonna be an incest person.
Oh no.
I have a tramp tattoo on my back that says Mother. So is there a song that you would like to hear? Because I have to switch. What I have to do is sign out and come back in under my headphones. So I'm going to do this while there's a song playing.
Young Americans by Bowie.
Young Americans by David. Oh, wait a minute. I can't do it. Because you know what's going
to
happen?
You're not allowed to play him.
No, no. I could play Bowie. Because I'm going to have to go out and... Well, I might be able to do it. Okay, I might be able to do it because it's not in the studio. Okay. Okay, Young Americans. Young Americans from a Canadian lady in Niagara Falls, huh? Okay.
I like
Bowie. There we go. There you go. Does John like Americans, or what does he think of Americans?
I don't know. He doesn't say much.
John doesn't talk much,
does
he?
He's Scottish. He's not Canadian either.
Oh, really? He's a Scot, so you know about haggis. Haggis. Do you ever feed him haggis?
Yeah, we won't go there. No.
Oh. Haggis and beer.
My house.
That's a Scotsman's
dream. He doesn't
drink. Oh, he doesn't drink?
He doesn't drink. No,
does
neither do I.
Oh,
yep.
Okay. Does he smoke? Ah, he does a toki-toki smoke. So is John.
Yes.
And Pat Oberlin's Bakery, home of the smoke. Mm. All right. Here we go, and I'll be right back, everybody. It's Young Americans. And here you go, dedicated to Pat and John.
I just did. Good. I grabbed him by the hat and the head. When I tried to come in from looking at the mail, he was going for it.
Oh, I can't do it because I have to hang up.
I literally had his head in my hand pushing.
I can't do it because I have to hang up the phone to switch the thing. So let me see if there's another song in here. You like Osborne? You like Osborne?
Not that much.
Not that much? Okay, let's see who else do I have in there that you might like. You like Rod Stewart?
Yeah, he's okay.
I'm trying. How about the Rolling Stones? Anybody seen My Baby? How's that? The Rolling Stones? You like the Stones?
Is it the new one?
No, I don't think so, but they do have a new album coming out.
They
I'm going to give you some Stones.
New album.
They really do, yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to give you some Stones, and I'll be right back. I've never heard this song, Anyone See My Baby, Rolling Stones. And how's that? That sounds good, huh, Pat?
Yeah.
And I'll be right back. I'll be right back.
She confessed her love to me, then she vanished on the breeze. Trying to hold on to that was just impossible. She was more than beautiful, closer to ethereal, with a kind of down-to-earth flavor. Close my eyes, it's 3 in the afternoon. Then I realize that she's really gone for good.
My headphones on. I'm not quite sure I can hear you. Can you hear me, kiddo? Testing 1, 2, 3.
I can hear you. I
wow,
can hear you.
Oh, it's like you're in my ear. Wow, look at you, Pat.
Well,
it's
I
like,
would be.
The, well, it's like your voice in my head. Oh, my God. The voice
That's
in my
scary.
Head is Pat. Yeah. Go ahead and drive off the cliff, Brian. What? Go ahead. You can fly. No, I can't, Pat. Yes, you could. Fly, my friend. Fly. Flap your wings. All right. Let me see if I can do this. Now that I have my headset on, let me see if I can do this, because now it'll give me a keyboard. We are calling the incest people. This is a request.
You're
by
muting
Pat.
Me.
Okay. This is
You're
it.
Muting me.
This is so you can hear me in the studio, though, right? You can hear me.
Yep.
Okay. This is by per request, Pat Oberlin, everyone. I am muting Pat right now. Muting Dwayness. But I have to unmute you for a minute.
Hold you on. Have reached the National Sexual Assault Hotline, operated by RAIN.
Me,
to continue in English, press 1.
Okay,
para continuar en español, presione
okay,
el número 2.
Where is it at? Uh-oh, I lost it. Wait a minute. I lost it. Where is it?
I'm
okay,
sorry. I did not understand that response. To continue in English, press 1. Para continuar en español, presione el número 2.
I can't do it.
I'm
Damn
sorry.
It.
I did not understand that response.
I
to continue in English, press 1. Para
I
continuar en español, presione el número 2.
Let me see here. How did I do this? I know I had it here.
To reach a hotline staff member in your area, please press 1 now. If you are a member of the U.S. military or are calling about someone who is, please press 2 now to be connected to the DOD Safe Helpline, operated by RAIN. To make a donation, volunteer, or learn about how you can help prevent sexual violence, press 3 now, or visit RAIN.org. That's RAINN.org.
Wow.
To reach RAIN's business office, please press 4 now.
I have no idea where I am. Okay. I'm pressing.
Once again, to reach a hotline staff member in your area, please press 1 now. To reach the DOD Safe Helpline, press 2 now. To make a donation, volunteer, or learn about how you can help prevent sexual violence, press 3 now. Or visit RAIN.org. That's rainn.org.
Transfer me over.
To reach Rain's business office, press 4 now. If you are calling from a rotary phone and would like to reach a hotline staff member, please stay on the line.
Yay.
If you are calling from a rotary phone and would like to contact the business office, please call area code 202-544-1034.
Pat, can you hear me? Okay.
I can hear you.
Okay.
Please hold while we connect your call to the Rape Treatment Center nearest you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
You have reached the Safe Horizon hotline.
Thank
you. If you are in immediate danger, please hang up and call 911.
Okay.
An advocate will be with you momentarily.
Si necesita hablar con alguien en español, oprima el número 2.
If you need to speak in another language, please press 3.
How about in tongues, because I'm possessed by the devil? Oh, that's the music. They dropped me. They dropped me. Are you kidding me? Wait a minute. Let me bring it back. Pat? I waited all that long. The phone rang and the phone dropped. What's going on here? All right. I'll call it back.
I don't know. They knew it was you.
You have reached the National Sexual Assault Hotline, operated by RAIN. To continue in English, press 1.
Para continuar en español, presione el número 2.
Okay, see. Okay, let me hit the button here. I'm here.
I'm sorry, I did not understand that response.
To continue in English, press 1.
Para continuar en español, presione el número 2.
Oh, sí, ¿cómo estás? Hello. Hello, señorita.
I'm sorry, I did not understand that response.
To continue in English, press 1.
Para continuar en español, presione el número 2.
We have to wait till they roll me over. We have to just wait. Because
to reach a hotline staff member in your area, please press 1 now. If you are a member of the U.S. military or are calling about someone who is, please press 2 now to be connected to the DOD Safe Helpline, operated by RAIN. To make a donation, volunteer, or learn about how you can help prevent sexual violence, press 3 now, or visit RAIN.org. That's RAINN.ORG. To reach RAIN's business office, please press 4 now.
Let's see if they roll me over.
Once again, to reach a hotline staff member in your area, please press 1 now. To reach the DOD Safe Helpline, press 2 now. To make a donation, volunteer, or learn about how you can help prevent sexual violence, press 3 now. Or visit RAIN.org. That's RAINN.ORG.
Normally that won't happen.
To reach RAIN's business office, press 4 now. If you are calling from a rotary phone and would like to reach a hotline staff member, please stay on the line. If you are calling from a rotary phone and would like to contact the business office, please call area code 202-544-1034.
Let's see if they roll me over.
Please hold while we connect your call to the Rape Treatment Center nearest you.
Good. See what happens. Okay, I'm going to put you on mute.
The Safe Horizon Hotline. If you are in immediate danger, please hang up and call 911. An advocate will be with you momentarily.
Si necesita hablar con alguien en español, oprima el número 2.
Oh,
if you need to speak in another language, please press 3.
Boop, beep, 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 boop, beep, beep. That's my language in my new other planet.
Boop, beep.
Safe Horizon.
Hello, I can barely hear you. Who am I speaking to? Hello? Hello?
This is Diana from Safe Horizon. Please speak freely.
Yes, I can speak freely. Hi, Diane. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm not doing so well. Diane, here's my situation. The reason I'm calling you is I just retired. I'm hearing somebody else in my ear. Am I talking to two people or is just you, Diane?
It's just me. I don't know if it was like an echo.
Oh, okay.
Can you hear me well?
Yeah, I can hear you. Without my medication, I hear other voices, but I'm okay now. I just retired, Diane, and I live with my daughter. And I'm in a situation where she is sexually abusing me as her father. I have no other resources. She's the one that has the money. This is her cabin that I live with. I have no resources, and the only reason I'm afraid to say anything because, one, nobody believes a man could be sexually abused as I have been. And I read the story about incestuous relationships. She is on drugs. She's been doing a lot of cocaine, and she's been doing a lot of that heroin business. I'm calling for suggestions here, Diane. What should I do?
So you said there's abuse going on. Can you tell
Can I tell you the abuse? Well, I'm the one who's being abused. I mean, I would be sleeping in my bed, and next thing you know, it's like The Exorcist. She pulls off the bottoms of my pajamas, and then she gives me head, and she sucks me and everything, and then she climbs on top of me, and she has sex with me. But she does this, I think she's an addict. So I'm the one who's being abused here, and that's the problem. People don't take men seriously when they are abused, and that's why I didn't hardly come forward. So I'm asking for suggestions. What should I do? I don't want to turn her in. She's of age. She's 30, by the way.
I'm sorry to hear that. So there are several issues with this. So as far as that, if you want to stick with in person, you're able to walk into a family justice center, and a case manager would guide you through. As far as if you want to like press charges, or they can safety plan with you, they're also legal there, and they also provide a order protection if you would like one. You can let them know. And there are other services like counseling services, and if you wanted to look for other services as first, you know, based on the circumstances, you are able to be eligible for a shelter. That's also another resource that we have here.
But see, that's the thing. I don't want to live in a shelter. And I'm going to ask a dumb question, Diane. I hope you can answer it. Is it really a crime? I mean, is it a crime? I live in California, so is it a crime that my daughter is having sexual relationships with me, even under the arrest of drugs? Is that really a crime?
It's non-consensual, so it's a crime.
Oh. Oh, okay. There's rape. Okay, I see what you're saying. So it's rape, basically.
No, it's non-consensual.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm
sorry. California? New York?
Yes, I'm in California.
Okay. So I'll give you a hotline number just because you're calling a New York number. So these offices that I was explaining, the shelter, it's for New York. So this hotline works with domestic violence.
Right.
They're able to give you other referrals for your area.
Okay, I'll take
that number.
Why not? But Diane, is it wrong that I kind of like it? I mean, she's the best sex I ever had. Is it kind of wrong that I feel like it's wrong, but I kind of like it? You know, I love my daughter, but I'm just so confused. Maybe I should have a psychiatrist number too, somebody I can talk to, you know?
Right. So, yeah, that's something that you can speak with someone there. You know, you did mention it's non-consensual.
I'm beginning to – it was non before because she was on drugs and everything, and I was kind of afraid because, like I said – I live with her, and without her, I don't want to live in a shelter. And this is all about sex. I mean, I just kind of like it. I mean, and now that I'm talking to you, I hate to admit it, but I have to be honest. If I'm going to go to one of these places, I mean, I love pulling her hair, and I love dogging her. I mean, is that wrong?
Just because of what you mentioned that
I know I'm just conflicted. It wasn't consensual before, but I think I'm. Okay, could I have that number, Diane? I'll just call the one in California. Thank you for your time. I'll call that one.
No problem. So it's 800?
Right.
799?
Yes.
7233.
I appreciate your help. You're doing a great thing. Keep doing. You're helping a lot of people, Diane. Thank you for your time.
No problem.
All right. Bye-bye. 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 See, at least we know what's going
poor
on
girl.
There, don't we? I know, right?
Poor girl.
What do you mean, poor girl? Poor me.
Poor girl putting up with you.
Oh, my God.
You could tell she was getting a little, she didn't know what to say there.
I know. We got to put them these questions and let them know what's going on. There's people out there that need help. You know, that is something. I don't know if incest, but, you know, she said something that's very interesting because I don't know if incest is a crime. But she says without consent. She kept on saying without consent. So without consent is rape. So they're going to. So they're not. So they're going to get off.
If there's consent, there's no problem.
Right. That's what I'm thinking. There's no crime. Right. Right.
Basically.
So. Wow.
Nobody's getting hurt.
Wow. There you go, Pat. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to get back. I'm on my microphone. Is there a big difference? You can hear me on the mic than I do on the telephone?
You're a bit quieter on the mic.
Because I have this Pollock symbol towards my lips, and it's black and it's furry right towards pushing my lips. I don't know. I don't want to open my mouth too wide. You know what I'm saying, baby? I'm going to play this song so I can get off the microphone, get back on the phone, so I have to play it. I'm going to dedicate this. I don't know. I'm going to get in my DJ voice. Here it is. I am DJ Hammer, and I got a call coming in, and I talked to this young lady. Her name is Pat Oberlin. Yes, sir, Patricia Oberlin. You know her, Patricia Oberlin Baked Goods. She's expanding from Niagara Falls to all over the country with her Devil Foods cake and her magical brownies. She rocks and she rolls. I'm going to tell you something. She is.
You're awful.
I know. She does.
You know, people are going to believe you one of these days.
Pat, you got to get the bacon. Can you bake, Pat? Can you make a cupcake? Can you make a cake?
Actually, I went to cooking school.
Yeah, get to work. We got something here, Pat. Can you make some cupcakes? Pat?
I'll be too high.
Well, that would make it, the recipe would never be the same. Oh, I made that one yesterday. Oh, Pat, I made this one. They never look the same. So I'm going to play a song. So how did you and John meet? You know, I'm a radio DJ, so I'm going to, let's say you're dedicating a song. So how did you and John meet? I'm asking you, Pat. How did
with
you
his sister. His actually, he ignored me for a year.
Wow.
I used to go over and visit his sister.
Wow.
And he wouldn't even say hello.
Wow. Now, he's Scottish, so is he a citizen of Canada, or was he here on visa?
No. No, he's a landed immigrant.
Oh, okay. Okay. So he married you for the green card?
No, we're not married.
Oh, so he's banging you for the green card?
Okay. No.
All right. I need that green card. All right, baby, let's get in the mood. Here we go with the Scots. So I'm going to dedicate this song to you. Here's how I picture this. I picture you're going over to the sister's house. There's John looking all good and everything. And in your mind, you're looking at him like a tall drink of water. Going, look at him. I want to slurp him down. Look at that guy. I'm going to call him Yum Yum. And that's John. John's ignoring you because you're drooling all over the floor and he has to wipe it up when you leave. So he's ignoring you. He's ignoring you. And then when John finally says, you know what, maybe I break a piece of that Kit Kat bar, meaning you, and he comes around and then he smiles at you and he starts flirting with you. And knowing you, you probably turn away going, I'm not that easy. You have to woo me. Am I correct? So it wasn't just like, oh,
no,
you know,
he didn't flirt. He didn't do anything. He grabbed me by the arm, swung me around, and planted a kiss on me.
Well, we call that assault. But, okay.
It wasn't quite as salty.
Wow. I'll grab you by the arm. Come here, woman. I take you. And after that was history, right? He took you, right? A real man takes you. So that's it.
It was interesting.
Well, see, I don't picture it that way. You know what I picture? I picture John being shy. Here's how I picture John. I think he's being shy. And there you are in all your glory. And you're probably wearing peekaboo everything. Look at me. Look at my bosom, John. John goes, and you hypnotize. John goes, oh, my. And you come over there with those short skirt. Hello, sailor. John goes, no. No means no. So I picture that's how it really happened.
You've got a good imagination there, you know.
Well, I'm going to play this song for you two kids roaming around. And this is a song, I think, how you guys met. And I'm going to be right back, and I'll switch back to the – I dedicate this song to that lovely couple over there, John and Patricia, two lovely kids, almost like Jack and Diane, doing everything the best they can. And I'll be right back. Here you go, John and Patricia. This is your song. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
I can't go off this, so I can't find how I could turn this off. So another 5 minutes you have to deal with me on this microphone. I'm right in your ear. Hello, Pat. There you go.
Bye-bye.
Now, so now you got the microphone all over the house. So that means we're talking and John can hear us all over the place?
At this moment, yes.
Wow.
But not.
Hello, John.
Easily.
Huh?
Says
so
hello,
it's
John.
Like I'm a
what?
Siri. Like, well, there you go. Uh-oh. Don't get John upset. John sounds angry at me. John
he
sounds
said,
angry
hello.
At me.
No, he had his headphones on.
Ah. Now, don't
and
get
he
jealous.
Was listening to music.
Yeah, I don't blame him. I'm listening to music, too. I'm going to play another song.
Well, wait a minute, because I have something I'm starting in 5 minutes.
What are you starting?
Vaping.
Oh.
You can play
a
song.
You had to go somewhere. Okay. So what do you got when you're vaping? What do you got there?
A volcano.
But what kind of, is it tobacco or is it weed?
Weed.
Yeah.
One called 11 Roses, and
wow.
It's mixed with one called Red Widow.
Wow. All right, you know what, Pat? We got to save some time because I shot the shot. I think I did all my thing. Let me see here. We talked about Donald Trump, right? He said
yeah,
he was a banana. We did talk that. We talked about celebrity who had cancer. Middle East, what the hell's going on there, Pat? What do you think?
Oh, yeah, they're just going into Gaza now.
I mean, my God, they're going to, I think they're determined to wipe them out. I am not kidding you. They're not going to, the Israelis are not
they
fucking
around.
They are
determined around. To wipe them out.
They're going to wipe as many of them out, and I don't care, and they don't care who it is. They're going to,
no.
They don't care who it is. I mean, we did it with 9/11. We went there to just wipe them out.
I know they took out one of the leader's wives the other day, because she was a leader,
really?
Too.
Wow.
Yeah, but she was in the organization, too, though.
Mm. You're fighting. Wow.
She got elected into Hamas.
Oh,
Hamas.
Really? Let me see if I can type here. How many people died in Hamas, M-A... Okay, let me see.
M-A-S.
Yeah. 1,400 woman
people died.
How many people? I didn't hear you.
1,400.
Really? I thought more than that.
No, that was in the attack that day that they attacked. Yeah, 1,400, and they kidnapped 200.
Right. I think it was yesterday or the day before that the Israelis bombed this building and 700 people. They claimed 700 people died.
That was bullshit.
You don't think so, huh?
No, that's bullshit.
Mm.
And they tried to say that Israel bombed their hospital. It was their own damn missile.
Right.
And it didn't hit the hospital. It hit the parking lot. They lied.
Well, according to the Palestinian press, Al Jazeera, it says here, more than 1,300 people killed as Israel pummels Gaza and battles continue between Hamas fighters and Israeli soldiers. It says here, more than 800 Israelis and some 500 Palestinians have been killed. There you go. It says here, it came as Gaza's Ministry of Health said at least 510 Palestinians have been killed and 2,750 more were wounded in Israeli air raid. Wow.
I believe that.
Yeah. Wow. That's kind of a shame, right? What the hell's going on there? Shit. I don't think they're going. Let me see here. We did that news. Now it's time. It's 14 minutes. It's time to do... Can you hear this song? Can you hear this song, Pat? Let me see.
Yeah,
Pat. Da 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 da. I'm gonna have John sing this to you. Yeah, baby. What does John call you? Does he call you sweetheart, baby, chicky baby? Pat? What does he call you?
I don't know. I guess baby sometimes.
Does he call you? Majority of the time, does he call you just Pat? Pat, Patricia? Patty?
Just Pat.
Just Pat? What do you call him?
Yeah.
What do you call him?
John.
John? This is a cute name
Honey,
for you guys.
Whatever. Whatever comes out of my mouth.
Yeah. Oh, that sounds good. Right here. He calls me just Pat. Yeah. Yeah. When I'm in the mood. Here you go, Pat. I call him just John. Yeah, look at you, lovebirds, with those silly little cute names.
Little Not cute many, names. No, but...
Yeah. Here,
you
gotta
remember, we've had a lot of other partners, so at this point, you know,
yeah,
you got to be careful you don't use all the things.
I had that. You know, I had that happen once. I swear to God. I remember that night, 27 years old, pretty girl. She was liquored out of her mind. I made sure. Got her home. I had my bedroom like it was a jungle. I had a lion thing. I had wallpaper like, you know, the little cheeky bird and all that kind of stuff. And that's the sounds of you vaping. Jesus, Pat. Da, 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 da. And I remember that. I got her home and she goes, Brian. I go, yeah. She goes, Brian. I go, yeah. She goes, Brian. I go, yeah. Brian, yeah. Make love to me. And I said, I will. So we're doing it, and then all of a sudden I said, and I was too cute for my own self. And I said, what's my name? What's my name? Oh, Brian. What's my name? Say my name. Oh, Jesse. Who the fuck is Jesse? I'm out of here. It really happened. Really happened. Jesse.
Yeah.
Why you?
I think I did that once.
Did you really?
Yeah. That's
wow.
Why you have to be really careful.
You sure do. There you go, Pat. This is smoking weed, Pat, music. I want to smoke some more weed. Yeah. Yeah. I had some crepes. Mm-mm-mm. Now I'm going to vape tonight. You know, Pat, let me tell you something.
Why wait for tonight?
Well, I know. Well, some of I can't. I only smoke at nighttime. I cannot smoke during the daytime. I got so much stuff to do, and I get so paranoid when I go out at night. Now it's time, Pat. It is time
I'll
for.
I'll tell you the
what,
trick.
Well, okay.
You don't go out.
Don't go out.
No, I. Because when we're off the phone, I'm going to bed. So.
Doesn't the vaping get you a little romantical? You know what I'm saying, Patty? I mean, now you're going to look at John.
Yeah,
going,
but if you know it's not available, you just don't think
well,
that
it
way.
Is available. John's right there. He has his headphones on. Look at John. He's right there. Take your
we
man.
Have problems, so. Come
That's
on.
Okay. Forget about problems. Who have problems? We all got problems. And let me see what your problems are because I'm going to read you in your erotic card reading. Let's see what your problems are. All right, Pat. Here we go. Her last thing. I'm going to read you because you read somebody else. I'm reading you. Here we go. I'm going to pull up your card. Here we go, Pat. I know. And the sound of the background is Pat vaping. It's part of the ambiance of me reading the cards. I am picking the cards. Oh, look at this. Pat, I am picking your card, and the card that I picked for you is, and this is your romantic card, Judgment. Judgment.
Oh, Pat. Yeah.
Oh, tell me about Judgment, Pat.
Change of personality.
Unlike the weed that you're smoking. I just see Pat.
Oh, this stuff smells like a skunk.
I know. Now let's see you go bake. Go bake, Pat. Bake for the masses. We can sell some cupcakes now. Cook.
I'm serious. Pat. This really smells like a skunk's behind.
Well, where are you getting it from? Are you getting it from the...
I got it from a guy that wrote the Marijuana Smoker's Guidebook.
Okay. Well,
he sent
be some good
to me
weed.
Through the mail.
Should be some good weed.
It is.
Mm.
It just stinks.
Yeah, that's what the dude from the Alaska Airlines did. I'm high on shrooms. Okay.
That was shrooms, honey.
Here you go, Pat. I'm reading your judgment. There's no judgment going on here. The background noise that you hear is Pat getting very high on the air. And that reminds me, if you do have an addiction, please call 1-800-HELP-MY-ASS. Thank you. Judgment.
Really?
I know. Addiction. You know, I don't believe in addiction. Some people can do without it. Some people can do with it. You know what I mean? Here it is, Pat.
Well, it's not a good thing if it's serious.
Well, it's a big enough addiction. Hello, kitty. Now, am I actually hearing a cat, or am I getting the secondhand smoke
that's
and I'm high?
That's the cat.
Okay.
No, that's the cat.
Okay, your smoke sounds
he
so...
He announces it when he comes in. I'm blowing smoke out the back door.
Well, let me get on with your thing. Here we go. We got the judgment card with it. It says, you, my dear friend Pat, you have drawn the judgment card, which is a powerful symbol of sexual awakening. Apparently, you were sexually asleep. Wake up, Pat. Okay, now I'm sexually awake. And liberation. This is a...
You think I need to be liberated?
No, I don't. But here's what you can no, keep. Do me a favor. Keep fake one more time. Just let me hear it one more time. Let me just hear it one more time. Let me hear it. Let me do it. Okay. There you go. I want to welcome class to Smokers Anonymous. Thank you for coming in today. I see that we got a new person in Smoker Anonymous, Patricia, the one who's bonging it up in the background. Would you mind bonging it up? We want you to know that since you can't walk, we're giving you 5 steps instead of 12, so we don't want you to fall down and sore ass. So you got the 5-step program. Oh, wait, what is this?
You know, you just can't get enough weed in a bong.
I forgot. What are you using? You're using the volcano? Is that what you're doing?
Yeah, the volcano.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and reach your sexual awakening and your liberation.
Yeah, okay. You go
okay.
for it.
Thank you. This is a time for you to explore your desires, Patricia. Embrace your sexual freedom fully. Yeah. What sex roles have you been waiting for to try? Have you been keeping any secrets and fantasies hidden away in your depths of your mind? Now is the time to bring these desires to the surface, Pat, and let them come. C-O-M-E.
Hang on a second, Brian. Hang on.
Okay. All right.
What'd you say?
We are taking a break. Let me see. I can't mute the conversation. Hold on. Okay, here we go. Let me see. Yes, I can. Wait a minute. Okay, hold on. Shh, I don't want any private stuff to go out. We have a brief intermission. I'm sending this song. I always do this on the downtime. I am sending this song to Laverne Verney, that little cute little girl in Virginia. She has sent me a letter to the DJ, and I will read it to you now. Thank you, Laverne. This is Laverne from Virginia, that cute little girl up there, Virginia. Dear Brian, that's me, and she spelled it Brian. I've been listening to your show for quite a while. Thank you, Laverne Verney. And I noticed something, yes. Sometimes you don't keep focused on your show and you keep skipping subject to subject. Oh, really? I would like you to stay on one subject, which is me. Oh, thank you, Laverne Verney. As I know that you have a crush on me for many years and I've been ignoring your stupid ass. Yes, that is true. You're very intuitive, Laverne Verney. I will never with a capital N, ever accept your flirting or come to your ways of thinking that we could be romantic. Ooh, this is a love letter. Thank you. She's weakening, but I will continue listening to your show because it's a good show. It's the number one show in Virginia. And I do love you. I love you too, Laverne. But I will never love you like I should love a man. I love you like I love a pet, a dog, a cat, even a gopher, but I will never love you. You will never have my heart. Oh, Laverne, never, never, never. My heart belongs to a good soul, a pure soul, a nice person, not you. Never, never, never. Well, thank you. This is Laverne signing off. I love your show. I'll be listening. Bye, Brian. Bye, Laverne Verney. And I will send you this song. Yeah, Laverne Verney. I only had this song to one other person who was on a show. She was a chef, but she was not worthy of the song. I should have known it was only Laverne was worthy of this song. It's a beautiful song. She knows. She knows the song. I know she knows the song. Way back in the day. Go. What do you say? Never, never, you'll never have my heart, Brian. No matter how much you sing like Tom Jones. Okay, I'm 30, Liberty. Spending my time, wasting my time. Uh-oh. Until I'm black and blue. Yeah, Liberty Bird. What I want to do. If I was next to you, Laverne, I'd give you some flowers. And then I would have you pay for them because I can't afford them. But still, they mean a lot. Oh, yeah. You are so sweet. You make me feel insecure. Yes, you do. I have a diuretic problem now. There you go, Liberty. I have no money. I can't even take you to a movie. Can't take you nowhere. I can't take you nowhere. Laverne. Where are you, Laverne? Laverne. Guess she left. Guess she doesn't want to be with some broke ass person. She went out the door. And that's my love letter to Laverne. Hello. Going back to Patricia on Cloud 9.
Hello. Sorry about that. I'm the president of the condo and people come to the door.
I understand. You know what? I'm going to play a song and we're going to leave. I think you can. You know that? It's like, here you go, Pat. And then we're going to leave. Here we go.
Okay, so this is goodbye for today?
No, I'm just going to send you off in this song. Are you ready?
Okay.
Oh, wait a minute. I can't do it. Oh, hold on. It might be goodbye because you can't hear because I'm on the headphones. Here we go. Unless it's way up here.
Well, I should say goodbye.
Wait a minute. Don't be such a hurry, you. Let me see. We might have to say goodbye. Yes. You like Aerosmith? I think Aerosmith is cool.
Yeah, they're good.
Okay, well, you're right. Hold on. Cannabis. Listen to this. That's a cannabis. You get it? Cannabis. It's a bus. Forget it. Okay. All right. Well, I guess this is goodbye, but I'm going to send you off with this song, okay?
Okay, well, I'm going to say goodbye, Brian.
Say goodbye. Say goodbye.
Okay, bye, Brian.
Bye, Pat.
Bye, Brian.
Bye. John,
bye, John. It was nice to meet you, John. Bye, Pat. Adios, as we say in Canada, au chérie, eh?
Say all
see you later,
other things too. Okay, bye.
Have fun. Bye. Be safe. Bye, bye, kiddo.
Bye.
Bye.
You on drugs?
I'm in the show right now. See you guys tomorrow.